The Senate will be in order. Will everyone in the Senate and the galleries please rise for the prayer by the Reverend Gock and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag? My mistake on who's saying the prayer today. Senator from Cape Girardeau will be saying the prayer today.
Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Psalm 119, 165. O God, King of the universe, you have given your law to assist us to live abundantly and fully each day. Many of the laws we attempt to write flow from your law in order to help protect life and create harmony among our people. Your graciousness blesses us to meet the challenges this week brings to us. Please strengthen us for the work we have to do and help us to be helpful and caring toward those who work on our behalf. And help us remember always to be grateful for your grace, mercy, love, and presence, and all we owe you that sustain us each day. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Governor.
Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, here. Chappelle Nadal, here. Cunningham, here. Curls, here. Dixon, here. Eigel, here. Emery, Hageman, here. Holzman, here. Hoskins, here. Hummel, here. Kehoe, Koenig, here. Krauss, here. Leibler, here. Munslinger, here. Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Quorum being present, the Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, 51st day, Monday, April 10th, 2017. The Senate met pursuant to adjournment. President Parson.
Senator from the second, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, without objection, I move that the further reading of the bill of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as if fully read.
The senator from the second has moved that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and same be approved as fully read. Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, senator from the second, you're recognized. Close.
I close.
Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Introduction of guest. Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
Visiting introduction of special guest.
You may proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Visiting us today is Mike Allen and Kent Kirby. If they would please stand, they are both from Lee Summit, my district, and the Senator from the 8th district. They are here with the Lee Summit Chamber of Commerce to advocate on behalf of the City of Lee Summit and just learn the process in general. And I would ask the body make them feel welcome as they visit the Capitol today.
Let's please welcome the guest from the Senator from the 7th to the Missouri Chamber. Senator from Barton, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Introduction of special guests.
You may proceed.
On your right and to my left, I have some special guests, four students who are on the sophomore pilgrimage from Vernon County, Alexandra Gast from Nevada, Brittany Trueblood from Walker, Paige Waite from Bernal, Callista Lewis from Sheldon, and with them are two chaperones, Vicki Briscoe, who's with the Federated Women of Missouri, and Nancy Ross, who is also with the Federated Women of Missouri, and they have brought a guest with them from Stamford, Connecticut. Her husband is a city councilman there, Patricia Watkins, and I would ask the body to please welcome all of these to the Missouri Senate Chamber.
Let's please welcome them. Would the guests of the Senator from the 31st please rise, and would the members of the Senate please welcome them in the Senate chamber that I had the privilege to have lunch with today. So thank you for being here. Senator from the 8th, what purpose your eyes?
Introduction is very special guest.
You may proceed, Senator.
Mr. President, today with me I have my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law, Christy and Todd Kurtz, and with them are their four children, my nieces and nephews, Ella, Nora, Emmett, and Gunner. If we could make those four pages for the day being compensated by their parents, I would appreciate that.
Those four children will be made pages for the day. And with the guest of the Senator from the 8th, please rise. And with the members of the Senate, please welcome them to the Missouri Senate Chamber. Entered. Senator from the 8th.
I made the error in not introducing the fact that my lovely wife is here as well. So if the Senate could make her feel welcome on her day down here with her sister and my in-laws, I would appreciate that.
Let's
She's
please,
holding the gunner, by the way.
Let's please welcome the wife of the Senator from the 8th to the Missouri Senate today. Welcome. Any other senator, or I'm sorry, introduction of guest. Senator from Webster, what purpose do you rise?
Introduction of special guest, Mr. President.
You may proceed.
Mr. President, thank you. Mr. President, over on your right, my left, is a young man from West Plains. He's up here on the sophomore pilgrimage today. I would like for the body to make Justin Cotter welcome today. And Justin, if you would stand, I'd like for the body to make him feel welcome. Thank you.
Let's please welcome the guest from the Senator from Webster to the Missouri Senate Chamber. Introduction of guest. Introduction of guest. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Senate will come to order. Senate will come to order in order to conduct business. Resolutions. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Senator from the 2nd.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on second reading. On third reading. I'm sorry, on second reading. Second reading.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on second reading. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before I do that, would you please refer House Committee Substitute House Bills 90 and 68 to Committee on Fiscal Oversight?
That bill will be referred.
House Committee Substitute House Bill 275.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 275, an act relating to transportation regulations.
Transportation, infrastructure, public safety. House Committee Substitute number 2 for House Bill 502.
House Committee Substitute number 2 for House Bill 502, an act relating to fantasy sports contests.
Progress and Development. House Committee Substitute House Bill 142.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 142, an act relating to property taxation of telephone companies.
Commerce, Consumer Protection, Energy, Environment. House Committee Substitute House Bill 340.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 340, an act relating to the regulation of utilities.
Government Reform. House Committee Substitute House Bill 780.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 780, an act relating to health insurance with an emergency clause. Emergency clause adopted.
Health and Pensions. House Committee Substitute House Bill 573.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 573, an act relating to time-limited offers to settle tort claims.
Government Reform. House Committee Substitute House Bill 542.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 542, an act relating to compliance with the federal transportation laws.
Transportation, Infrastructure, Public Safety. House Committee Substitute House Bill 261.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 261, an act relating to human trafficking hotline posters.
Judiciary, Civil, and Criminal Jurisprudence, House Bill 111.
House Bill 111, an act relating to collective bargaining units within the Bi-State Development Agency.
General Laws, House Committee Substitute, House Bill 181.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 181, an act relating to law enforcement with an emergency clause.
Transportation, Infrastructure, Public Safety, House Bill 719.
House Bill 719, an act relating to property classification.
Agriculture, Food Production, Outdoor Resources, House Bill 571.
House Bill 571, an act relating to natural resources.
Commerce, Consumer Protection, Energy, Environment, House Bill 294.
House Bill 294, an act relating to immunity for persons who seek medical assistance for a drug or alcohol overdose.
Judiciary, Civil and Criminal Jurisprudence, House Committee Substitute, House Bill 576.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 576, an act relating to the operation of motorcycles or motor tricycles.
Transportation, Infrastructure, Public Safety, House Bill 813.
House Bill 813, an act relating to regulation of certain professions.
Professional registration.
The Senate will come to order.
House Bill 815.
House Bill 815, an act relating to the regulation of certain professions.
Professional registration. House Committee Substitute, House Bill 29.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 29, an act relating to intoxicating liquor.
Economic Development. House Bill 170.
House Bill 170, an act relating to industrial hemp.
Agriculture, Food Production, Outdoor Resources.
Senator from the second.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading, and I ask you to recognize me on House Bill 130.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading. Senator from the second, you may proceed. Senator from Callaway, I'll be with you in just a second.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 130 be taken up from the informal calendar for third reading and final passage.
The Senator from the second has moved that Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 130 be taken up for third reading and final passage. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. It is in front of the body. Senator, we have a Senate substitute pending. We are on Senate Amendment Number 6. It's the Senate. The amendment is from the Senator from Jefferson. The Senator from Buchanan has the floor, and he was in inquiry with the Senator from Jefferson. So Senator from Buchanan has the floor. Senator, you were in inquiry with the Senator from Jefferson when this bill was laid over.
Well, may I inquire of the Senator from the second?
Senator, what purpose do you rise to inquire? For inquire from the Senator from the second. Senator from the second, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from Buchanan?
I do.
You may proceed.
Thank you for the inquiry, Senator.
Three senators standing. Senator from Callaway, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I seek unanimous consent to introduce very special guests, and I apologize for interrupting the debate.
Hearing no objection, you may proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have some very special guests here today. To your left and my right are international students from William Woods University. William Woods currently has, if you all will stand so we'll know who we're talking about, currently has 55 students from 21 different countries attending this school year. Here today, we have 9 of those students from 7 countries. And if I mispronounce a name, I sincerely apologize ahead of time. We have Arnia Sagale, Felicia Caesar, Anna Barak, Connor Cable, Chelsea Stewart, Abigail Limburger, Lucy Matthews, Anima Injai, Jody Peacock, and their advisors Heather Cook, Tara Emerson, Jose Us, and Cindy, sorry, Cindy Kuntz. I ask the body to please join me in giving them a warm welcome.
Let's please welcome the guests from the Senator from Callaway to the Senate's chamber. Senator from Buchanan, you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. You know that when this bill came up previously, there were a few of us that kind of had some concerns, but they weren't necessarily about this bill, although the senator from Jefferson, he did have some concerns.
Yes, he did.
And he actually was asking for some amendments.
Right.
And so I'm assuming that you negotiated with him.
Yes. Yeah. So the senator from Jefferson and I will probably speak a little bit later. But he had some concerns. He offered an amendment that had to do with insurance. I think he had some really good ideas regarding how we can incentivize TNC drivers to abide by Missouri law and carry their liability insurance as all other drivers should. And I wasn't quite ready to accept the amendment he offered on the day of the previous debate, but we've worked through that.
And is his amendment included in your Senate substitute?
An amendment along those lines is included in the amendment substitute.
You've met his you've done it to his satisfaction.
Yes, I'll let him speak for himself later, but I think we're in agreement right now on that.
And then also, as you recall, the senator from the 14th, she also had some concerns, and I think we've addressed those by passing her bill.
I think you know she had some issues that she had been working on for a very long period of time, and I, as far as I know, and again, I won't speak for her, but I don't think she had big concerns about my bill, but just that she really wanted her own concerns, her own issues addressed, and I don't blame her, and I think she's pretty happy with the way the legislative process has gone this year.
Well, I mean, you've worked hard on both of those, and
the Senate will come to order. The Senate will come to order where the senators can hear one another in a debate. Senators, you may proceed.
And then finally, you know, I had spoken about managed care and what was going on there, and you and I have had a discussion, and I think that you pretty much think along the same lines as I do on that.
Yeah, I think so. You and I have discussed that issue going back to 2015, and I think we've been on the same page on that issue.
Yeah, we really have, and, you know, the way that managed care was put into the budget was kind of perverse. It was slipped in at the last second. I think you tried to help me a couple years ago get it out, and there was some kind of parliamentary shenanigans that went on, and it was third degreed, and then we were kind of locked out of making an amendment. It was really something, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I don't know if I'd – I don't remember the exact procedure. I think eventually we got a vote on what you and I were trying to do. I think we did eventually get to a vote. But we did not prevail, and
well, you know, one of the things that we talked about with the managed care was that, you know, the Constitution in Article 4, Section 28, it talks about, you know, signing a contract and then appropriating the money for that, and after you appropriate the money, then and only then do you start actually spending the money under the contract. You know, so it's let the contract make sure the money's appropriated and then spend, or you can appropriate and then contract and then start providing the services. But the one thing that the Constitution really doesn't allow you to do is to start providing the services before you actually appropriate the money. And that's what's being done with managed care. You know, they're planning to start providing the services on May 1, but we won't have appropriated the money until, you know, after that. And so, you know, you don't like unconstitutional things like that, do you?
I believe in following the Constitution.
Right. And so, I mean, basically what I'm hearing you say is that you'd probably talk about that for some time if that weren't fixed.
I'll always submit to inquiry, Senator.
Thank you, Senator. I very much appreciate that. And, the three of us, we had these various concerns, and it looks to me like you've made an effort to try to, help us with our concerns. And that is very valuable and meaningful, what you've done.
Thank you.
And I think that the people listening, they understand what we're saying here pretty much, don't you? Okay. Mr. President?
Senator from Buchanan.
To inquire of the senator from Jefferson.
Senator from Jefferson, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Buchanan?
Yes, I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, you and I and the senator from the 14th had kind of worked together when this bill came up, and you had some real concerns. You had some thoughts about this bill, and my understanding is that this substitute that's been dropped, I mean, you're probably going to talk about it, but you feel like your concerns were kind of addressed.
Yes, I think so. I was kind of reviewing it here, and I'm still looking for one more section that I haven't been able to find, but from the drafts that I've seen, my concerns will be
addressed. There were some other concerns that you had. I think you might know what I'm talking about. And these also have been addressed?
I think so, yeah. I think we're pretty much on the same page now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I care about. I mean, I'm wanting to make sure that our kind of working arrangement has been satisfied.
Right.
And, when the time comes on the issue that I care about, you'll probably be there to help with me.
I will try to help you. Yes, I will.
Very good. That's the most that I could hope for. And
yeah.
So anyway, thank you for the inquiry. Mr. President.
Senator from Buchanan, purpose to rise.
If I could inquire of the senator from the 14th. She's not in the chamber, but I need to inquire of her.
Senator from the 14th.
She's right there.
Senator from the 14th, you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Buchanan.
Yes,
thank
Mr.
you.
President.
Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. This bill was before us, three, 4 weeks ago, and you and I and the senator from Jefferson, we had kind of talked about it a little bit, and I think I was concerned about the managed care, and you were concerned about the radiation problems in your district.
Yes.
And he was concerned about some items in the bill as well as some other things. And you had your bill before us, and it actually passed out of the chamber and went to the House.
Not yet.
Oh, it hasn't.
No. So there was a mishap occurred. When it came to the fiscal note and a misunderstanding between the Department of Natural Resources and my office, and caused confusion last week. Hopefully, between last week and now, we brought clarity to the bill. It was passed out of, fiscal oversight or the committee that that the senator from Webster oversees, chairs, and it looks like it was unanimous. So at this point, we're waiting for a third read on the bill. I don't know when it's coming up. But
it has made it to the calendar.
So it's just ready for third read.
Oh, okay. And, I think that your bill requires that there be some money in the budget in order for it to have any impact. Is that true?
That is true. In the bill, the way that it was written, there's a cap of $12.5 million, of which I don't, one, think that it's practical to get the whole thing.
You get some money put into the budget to take care of that?
I've been talking to members of the committee, not every member, but I am hoping that these families get some kind of relief. They're going to be here tomorrow. They're meeting with the AG's office, and I'm going to be there with them. And these stories are really heartbreaking. And I hope, I really, really hope that your committee on the budget realizes that we're talking about people's lives. We're talking about 15-year-olds who are dying of either leukemia or ovarian cancer because of where they live. We're talking about babies who are getting brain tumors 300% higher.
The Senate will come to order. Senators in the chamber or staff, you take your conversations outside of the chamber, to the back of the chamber, outside the chamber, so the senators can hear in the debate. Senators, you may proceed.
So it's a dreadful story, and I don't want anyone in here to have to relive what I go through every week. But I'll tell you one thing, and I've told three people this, and at this point I'm going to go downstairs after I tell this story. So two Sundays ago, as I do my oral histories, I go to a household where there were nine siblings in this family. So I'm sitting next to two to my right, and I'm sitting next to my left is one, and on the phone is the fourth of nine siblings. And we're talking about what they went through, what they're still going through, or talking about their health. And I look over to my right, and there's a fireplace on my right. And when I look down from the fireplace, there are five urns. There are five urns. So in my community, we love animals. We love pets. I'm thinking, oh, you guys have had a lot of pets, right? Well, their brother Roger, their brother James, another brother, etc. Five urns on their fireplace. That is what I live. And the reason why it's so important that we are committed to this, because it's a state issue. People say it's a federal issue. Yes, it is. But we have a responsibility to look after every Missourian. And this is not the first time nor the last time I'm going to say it, but the entire state is impacted by the cost and the weight of what is occurring, not just in my district, but also in the 24th. Also in the 13th senatorial districts. Ultimately, we're having to pay the cost for what the federal government is responsible for, and it's absolutely unfortunate. And so just, you know, if you want to hear the stories, I'll tell you, you're not going to be happy about it, but it is what it is.
Well, right now, Senator, the senator from the 2nd has this Uber bill in front of us. And I call it the Uberville, but it's not just for Uber. But one of the things that you and I talked about was trying to get a little bit of money into the budget to do a study to more accurately assess the scope of the problem that's going on, especially in your district. And are you still working toward that?
Absolutely. I talked to the chair of that committee this morning, this week, every week. It's up to those who are on the committee. I don't sit on appropriations.
Okay, well, you know, I think that we were talking about maybe $1 or $2 million for that, but you also need some money put in for the buyout in your bill, right?
Yes.
So the bottom line of it is the managed care line that I believe that, you know, I want to take out of the budget, that expansion, since I believe that it represents just pure corruption myself. That line is pretty large, and there's probably room to take a little bit out of that line and fund those two items for you. And so I'm hoping that you can work with the senator from Phelps and get those items put into the budget, because, you know, if we can't get that done, then I hope you'll join me in ensuring that it does get done, you know, on the floor. You know, and that might take a long time if we have any problems with that. I guess what I'm saying is that I'm willing to, on behalf of the three of us, that I'm, you know, you, me, and the senator from Jefferson, since the senator from the 2nd has really worked hard to kind of work out all these problems, But the one little piece that's kind of missing is the funding for your two items and the source of the funding, which is my item. And so that's a kind of a budget-dependent thing. And so we're going to have to, you know, make sure that everybody knows that that's the direction that we need to have headed here in order for this bill to move. I mean, are you with me on that?
I've previously told you about my commitment, and I told you that it is worthwhile looking at how our state dollars are utilized for the managed care item in our budget and its expansion. And I literally do care, and I represent Centene. I mean, they're in my district, so, I mean, I'm letting everybody know that I actually care.
You're of the same mind on this.
Yes, as I have told you that before, and I think I also told your staff person that as well, maybe an hour ago.
Well, then I guess that what the rest of the body is hearing is you're saying that, you know, you're going to want to make sure that those items that the chamber voted for, you know, that bill is going to be funded to some degree, that there's going to be a study of what's going on in your district, and that we're going to take that money from the managed care line. Also, we've addressed the senator from Jefferson's concerns, and he's willing to help us to do that.
Now, it's been some time since we talked.
So I think we've got a lock here. I mean, I think we've got a triangle here that is going to work, and I think that, we can step back and allow this bill then to have its moment in the sun.
Okay, so are you planning to do this now? Because there are a couple of things that I was planning on doing right now. I don't know what your time
is. I'm essentially finished, and I'll let you go. And I'm going to sit down, and I think everybody understands the lay of the political land. And you agree with that?
Yes, I told you that.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 22nd, what purpose do you seek recognition?
May I inquire of the senator from 2nd?
Senator from 2nd, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Jefferson?
I do.
You may proceed, Senator.
Good afternoon, Senator.
Good afternoon.
I was just going to kind of go through here real quick and make sure that we got everything put in there that I think helps make the bill a little better and
yes,
helps increase public safety for our citizens.
Yes.
So the first part, I think, is be page 10. Of the substitute, and that's the section 387.419. And what that's we're doing there is basically telling the TNC drivers that they need to have a lost payee on their personal insurance to notify the TNC company should that policy lapse. So midterm, that policy lapses, the TNC company is going to be notified.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we got that part done. Okay.
Yeah, and that's something, of course, we worked out with, a few weeks back when this bill was on the floor. We kind of went back and forth as to what would be the best way to accomplish that goal that I think we both agree with. But I think this was good language.
Okay.
Three senators standing. Senator from the 24th, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Seeking unanimous consent to introduce a special guest.
Hearing no objection, Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on your left and my right, sitting over on the bench on the side, we have Patrick White, a doctor from my district, who is here today meeting people throughout the Senate chamber to talk to them about his desire to be appointed to the Missouri Palliative Care and Quality of Life Interdisciplinary Council. He is quite an accomplished young man, and if you were to read his resume, you would think he was 140 years old. But no, that's not the case. At his tender age, he was just recently, even since this resume was printed, appointed to be the chief medical officer at Barnes Jewish Home Care. So a big job, and has done all kinds of things beyond what anybody else around the country has done in the area of palliative care. So if you would join me in making Patrick White, V. feel welcome.
Let's please welcome the doctor to the Missouri Senate and the guest from the Senate of 24. Please make him welcome. Senators, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. All right, so that's the, I guess, one bookend. Then the other bookend would be on page 16, and that's in section 387.436. And what we added there was it said that the TNC companies now are going to be required that if they get that notification,
yes,
that the driver no longer has minimum financial responsibility under Chapter 303, they shall immediately revoke the ability for that driver to accept trips through the platform.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, I think that's a really important provision. Now, the TNCs tell us that it is their own policy starting, 3 months out from the expiration.
Right.
But given this, the other section you just alluded to, the TNCs might be notified at any time that the insurance coverage had lapsed, and therefore they would be obligated to immediately delete the TNC driver from the platform. So I think that was a good addition.
And that was my primary my goal was to make sure that there wasn't these lapses in coverages from the renewal period to renewal period.
The Senate will come to order. Senate will come to order, and this side of the chamber seems to be the problem. Senators, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. So if we eliminate these gaps of coverages, we're going to have fewer uninsured motorists, and we have fewer victims of uninsured motorists. So
yes,
that's why that was worked. Then the third thing that we kind of looked at was, and it wasn't my initial concern, but as we were reviewing the bill a couple
right.
weeks back, we noticed that this is page 11, looks like section 387.420.
Right.
And it deals with what does who shall not be able to be a TNC driver. And it kind of was, before we had kind of different offenses and kind of what I call different places.
Yes.
And this kind of straightens and irons all that out and kind of makes more sense that, I guess it's more congruent with Missouri statutes than the language that we started with.
I really agree, Senator. I think that we much more, if you will, made the punishment fit the crime, and I think ranked the offenses congruent with the Missouri statute with the length of time the TNC driver would be removed from the platform. So I think that was a valuable contribution to this bill that that you made as well.
And also with that, that alleviated my concern about the careless and imprudent driving being a lesser offense. Now it's more of a more severe offense.
Yes, I think that's important too, okay. Yes.
All right, well, thank you, Senator. I appreciate you taking time to listen to my concerns and to work through those. I think we've got a much better product now. So thank you for your
input. No, thank you, Senator, for working with me. I think you made this a much better bill. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mr. President?
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the Jefferson, what purpose do you rise?
Could you please send my amendment back?
Your amendment will be sent back. We are now on Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House. I'm sorry. We are back on the Senate Substitute. We are back on the Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 130. Senator, does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the Second, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, as you heard from the, and just to inform the body, we are on the Senate substitute for House Bill 130, and the senator from Jefferson just withdrew his amendment. He and I have been working on some compromise language for some time, and so I've been working on a substitute that incorporates the suggestions of the senator from the 11th, the senator from the 5th. So we incorporated that into a new substitute. So for that reason, Mr. President, please send back the substitute.
Your Senate substitute will be sent back. We are now back on Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 130.
Mr. President.
Senator from the Second. Purpose to rise.
Mr. President, I have a new substitute.
Please send your substitute forward.
It has been distributed. I would move for a waiver of the reading, and I would move its adoption.
Hearing for no objections, the reading will be waived. Senator, do you care to explain your substitute?
Yes, and Mr. President, the Senator from Jefferson, the Senator Buchanan, and I have discussed, this substitute is the product of many months of negotiation and compromise. This Senate substitute incorporates compromises made in the House, compromises made in the Senate, as well as the amendments adopted on this floor several weeks ago. The Senate substitute adds the language from the senator from the 11th banning grayballing, which is the practice of misleading law enforcement as to the availability of vehicles and rides or using geographic location to discriminate against riders based on income, racial, or ethnic composition. Interestingly, the day after the senator from the 11th got this amendment onto my bill, the TNC company, the largest TNC company, Uber, announced that it was ending their use of the gray ball program. So the senator from the 11th is not in the chamber, but I hope he's listening. It's one to tell his grandchildren. The Senate substitute also adds the language from the senator from the 5th specifying that the Metropolitan Taxi Commission shall not have the authority to regulate medical transportation. And as the senator from Jefferson and I were just discussing, it incorporates a number of his contributions, provisions to encourage TNC riders to abide by state law and carry liability coverage, contributions to categorize more clearly which offenses bar drivers from the TNC platform for how long, and then it adds language clarifying that airports have the authority to charge reasonable fees of TNCs, just like they do now of taxis. And finally, it modifies some language defining food delivery services. I'd be happy to take any questions, Mr. President, and if none, I would renew my motion.
Does any senator desire to be heard on Senate Substitute number 2? Does any senator desire to be heard on Senate Substitute number 2? Hearing none. Senator from the 2nd, you're recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Again, I thank the senator from the 5th, the senator from Jefferson, the senator from the 11th for their hard work on this, as well as all the other members, the Transportation Committee, the senator from Franklin, and all their work on this bill. Urge its adoption by this body, and with that, I renew my motion.
The senator from the 2nd renews his motion that Senate Substitute number 2 for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 130 be adopted. As members of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 2nd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that that the Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 130 be declared perfected and ordered printed. I'm sorry. Let me repeat that. I would move the Senate substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 130 be declared third read and finally passed.
The senator from the 2nd has moved that Senate Substitute number 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 130 be third read, third time, and finally passed. Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, senator from the 2nd, you're recognized. Close.
I close.
Senator from the 2nd renews his motion that Senate Substitute number 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 130 be read a third time and finally pass. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Substitute number 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 130. An act relating to passenger transportation companies. Senators Brown, Chappelle-Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Eigel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from the 5th, what purpose do you rise? Madam Secretary, please call the absentees.
Senators Chappelle Nadal, Eigel, Kraus, Sater, Riddle,
Senator from Barry. Senator from Barry votes aye. Senator from the 14th.
Aye.
Senator from the 14th votes aye. By your vote of 31 ayes, one no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from the 2nd.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, and I would ask you to recognize the senator from the 9th on Senate Bill 373.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection. Senate Bill 373. Senator from the 9th.
Thank you. Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 373 be taken up for perfection.
The Senator from the 9th moves that Senate Bill number 373 be taken up for perfection. Does mean the opinion that motion shall prevail? Say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is in front of the body. We have a
Mr. President?
I'm sorry.
If I may, I want to again move that Senate Bill number 373 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
The senator from the 9th moves that Senate Bill number 373 be declared perfected and ordered printed. Now, Senator, we have a point of order pending on that bill. Senator from Phelps, what purpose do you rise?
Please withdraw my point of order.
Your point of order will be withdrawn. We are now back on Senate Amendment Number 1, the senator from Cape Girardeau. Senator from Cape Girardeau, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, send my amendment back.
That amendment will be sent back. We are now on Senate Bill 373. Does any senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill 373? Is it Senator from Barton? What purpose do you rise?
Can I inquire the sponsor of the bill?
Senator from the 9th, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from Barton?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Thanks, Senator. I'm sorry to slow this down at all, but I was off the floor when your bill was taken up last time, and I wasn't sure why there was an amendment pending and the point of order. Can you just tell me where we are and if we're where we need to be as you see it?
Well, I think so. You know, when you say where we are, so the senator from Cape has withdrawn his amendment.
And what was his amendment about?
His amendment was, AAAs. Okay. It was the insurance tax on the area agencies on agencies. It was insurance tax for AAAs.
Okay, so it was a separate issue. Issue, and so that's been withdrawn. So you're down to your bill clean at this point.
Right, which was the Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program.
Okay, and I think I remember that. Didn't we pass that before?
Last
year?
You're right.
Okay, I think I remember the bill. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill 373? Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill 373? Hearing none. Senator from the 9th, you recognize close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from the 9th renews her motion that Senate Bill number 373 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many of those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from Cole.
Saying that same order of business, would you recognize the senator from Barton County on Senate Bill 99?
Senate Bill 99, Senator from Barton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 99 be brought from the perfection calendar before the body.
Senator from Barton moves that Senate Bill number 99 be taken up for perfection. As many as the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Barton.
President, I move that Senate Bill 99 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
Senator from Barton moves that Senate Bill number 99 be declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator, do you care to explain the bill?
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the electronic monitoring bill. It passed the Senate last year and was caught up in the activity of the session and did not get finally sent to the governor's desk. It creates an electronic monitoring system in two cases. One, when someone is found guilty of violating a protection order, and two, if those charged with violating a protection order, it can be offered by a judge as a condition of their release before trial, rather than to have to stay behind bars, then they would be required to wear it. This was an idea that was brought to me by a constituent some years back because of an incident and a death that was involved. One of the problems we have, Mr. President, with current protection orders is that there's really very little way to enforce those other than law enforcement showing up when someone calls in and says it's being violated, and you have to be caught in the act. This allows the option with the agreement of the victim. The victim has to agree to this, that the perpetrator can be braceleted, and the protected person, so they can refuse it. The costs of this are paid by the person being required to wear the device unless the court finds them indigent, in which case the Department of Corrections covers that cost. The way this works, Mr. President, is that in the case where someone has violated a conviction order, then this bracelet can be required. The bracelet would be protected areas. There might be the area of the home. There might be the area of the business. If a person violates that and enters those areas, it's recorded. Law enforcement can come and pick that person up. They don't have to catch them in the act. It's an automatic violation, and there's a record of it. So it makes it a lot easier to catch someone who is violating a protection order. I think the protections for the victim are increased significantly. It makes it a lot easier for law enforcement to enforce those protection orders. There are a number of considerations, including the fact that the protected person actually can object to this, and it has to be in a case where there has been a conviction for violating the protection order. So we're not doing anything here prior to the full adjudication of an offense. So I would ask the body to vote this out just like we did last year, but I would be happy to take any questions, Mr. President. Otherwise, I renew my motion.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill 99? Senator from Callaway, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire of the senator from Barton.
Senator from Barton, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Callaway?
I do.
You may proceed, Senator.
Thank you. I like your bill. I think it's a good thing to help those that are feeling like further victims.
Right.
My question is, and you may have already answered this before, but if the monitoring of that individual, the people who monitor that see that the individual is going to an area that they are not supposed to, is that victim notified? Do you know?
I can't remember if that's in the bill, Senator. I'll glance through here very quickly.
That's what I was trying to do beforehand.
Right, right.
I'm just curious if it just they notify law enforcement or if that victim is notified as well.
That seems very reasonable, and it may very well be in here. The focus of this was to make sure that we had a way to catch the perpetrator without having to actually catch them in the act. And I can't remember if we addressed that or not.
I'm not going to slow down your bill, but it was
curious. Well, if that's not in here, we can certainly consider it. And if it sounds like something that should be in there, if we don't change it here, we'll see if we can work on something when it gets to the House. And do that.
We can monitor a while if it gets all through the system and see how it's working. And if that appears to be a need, then maybe next year come back.
It's kind of an inverted approach to this because typically it's the person who's being violated that calls in the complaint. And so they are automatically they're notified because they're calling it in. I don't know that I've ever actually considered that, but I'll scan the bill further. And we'll pursue that if it's not in here.
Well, just a gee whiz thought on that. And
thank you, Senator.
I'm not going to slow down your bill. So thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill 99? Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill 99? Hearing none. Senator from Barton, you're recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
Senator from Barton renews his motion that Senate Bill number 99 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many as of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from Cole. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Staying on the same order of business, would you recognize the senator from the 1st District on Senate Bill number 204?
Senate Bill 204, Senator from the 1st.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 204 be taken up for perfection.
The senator from the 1st moves that Senate Bill number 204 be taken up for perfection. As many as of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 1st.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill number 204 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
The senator from the 1st moves that Senate Bill number 204 be declared perfected and ordered printed. Does the senator care to explain the bill?
Thank you, Mr. President. Under current law, the state of Missouri will collect DNA samples from felony arrestees for only certain kinds of felonies. This bill simply removes that restriction and expands the sampling to all felonies. following 16 other states that have done the same thing and have found that they solve a lot more cold cases that way and also exonerate more innocent people who don't deserve to be behind bars. Happy to answer any questions.
Does any senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill 204? Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from the first.
Senator from first, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Buchanan?
I do.
You may proceed.
Senator, I just don't have this bill in my stack for some reason. I got a lot of bills in my stack, but not that one. Could you tell me about the bill?
Yeah, so currently, if you are arrested in Missouri for a felony offense under five different chapters, and it's basically murder and things kind of like murder, rape, incest, pornography, prostitution. I mean, that's basically the chapter we're talking about. We'll swab your DNA for use in a database to see if it matches other unsolved crimes. We catch criminals who commit multiple crimes that way. What other states have found, and to be clear, 30 states do that currently. 16 of those states, though, go the extra step and say, if there's a felony arrest, we're going to take that sample. And what we have found throughout those states is that there are more unsolved crimes and more innocent people exonerated the more of this that we do. So the idea is catch more bad guys and free more innocent guys and gals.
Now, I'm just curious. What happens after they do the swab? Do they retain a sample of DNA, you know, in a database or something?
It's a closed record under Missouri law, so there, and this is already in statute because, again, we're already doing this in a lot of cases in our state. It's a closed record. It can only be accessed by law enforcement, the attorney general, prosecuting attorneys, and the individual whose DNA was collected. And in the case of arrestees, which is what this deals with, if they're not charged, the sample's destroyed.
The sample is then destroyed. And what about all of the related statistical information about the sample? I mean, like, can you boil a sample down to a series of numbers or letters or something that represents the DNA sequence or something?
Yeah, the statute says expunge, and again, that's current law, expunge all DNA records in the database taken.
Okay, so if you are found to not be connected with any other crime.
Right, and that's an important clarification, because if you are arrested on two felonies, you're convicted of one, but on the other one you're not even charged, well, your sample's going to be retained because you had the one.
Right. Okay. The thing is that right now they only do this on a certain set of crimes.
Right.
And what you're doing is extending that to all felonies.
Yeah, and we have seen across the United States the more of this sampling you do, the more crimes you will solve. And I will tell you, there are five states, New York being the largest among them, that have actually expanded this to misdemeanors. And the statistics on what that has done for solving unsolved crimes in that state and the law enforcement resources conserved because they now have matches that otherwise they wouldn't have known that they had is staggering. I mean, in New York, for instance, and I'm not suggesting that we go this far, but in New York, 1,786 petty larceny convictions where the perpetrators were swabbed. Solved 78 homicides, 343 sexual assaults, 235 robberies, and 764 burglaries. I'm not suggesting we go that far, but that's what one state has found by going down to misdemeanors.
Okay, so there right now we're doing this on a certain subset of really bad crimes.
Right.
Have there been any negative consequences of doing it in those people so far?
I mean, I'm not sure I understand what you're asking. Well, I mean, certainly understand the privacy concerns. I do
yeah,
understand that.
I mean,
yeah.
Basically what we're doing is we're giving government quite a say-so. You know, basically what we're saying is that we're going to swab you. We're going to invade your privacy once you're accused. But, you know, we think that the fact that you're accused warrants us to go ahead and invade your privacy. And you've got evidence to show that people who get accused do actually commit other crimes.
Well, and that ought to be prosecuted. And Senator, legally, the United States Supreme Court has ruled on this 4 years ago now. Legally, these samples are essentially fingerprinting. Legally, they are the same as fingerprinting. It's a method of identifying an arrestee, which is a legitimate state purpose. So this is basically 21st century fingerprinting, to know that we've got the right person or the wrong person.
Well, you know, anytime something like this comes up, I kind of feel like we ought to have a little discussion.
I agree.
I don't necessarily disagree, and I'm kind of wondering, the senator from Barton sitting over there listening intently, and I think that he's probably okay with this. Yeah, he looks like he's okay with it. Okay, thank you for the inquiry, Senator.
Senator, thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill 204? Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill 204? Hearing none, Senator from the First, you recognize closed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
Senator from the First renews his motion that Senate Bill number 204 be declared perfected and ordered printed. This means that the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Staying on the same order of business, would you recognize the senator from Buchanan County on Senate Bill number 371?
Senate Bill number 371, Senator from Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 371 be taken from the informal calendar and brought before the body for perfection.
The senator from Buchanan moves that Senate Bill number 371 be taken up for perfection. As many as the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill number 371 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
Senator from Buchanan moves that Senate Bill number 371 be declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator, do you care to explain your bill?
Yes, Mr. President. Senate Bill 371 is the hemp oil bill that is basically for children with seizures, children with multiple seizures do better when they have access to hemp oil. We passed a children with seizures bill probably 2 or 3 years ago. Then Senator Eric Schmidt passed that bill, and he's now the treasurer. But it turns out that children with seizures can't get access to hemp oil because of some problems that this bill tries to fix. It's all about children with seizures. I'll be glad to answer any questions. Otherwise, I renew my motion. Thank you.
Does any senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill 371? Does it, Senator from the Second, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from the Second.
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you. Thank you for the inquiry, Senator. Well, Senator, you know there are some issues you and I agree with and some we don't. Okay. I guess this is
maybe... Well, I think we agree on children with seizures.
Absolutely. Well, and that's really where I wanted to start. So you said this bill is about people with seizures.
That's the main purpose.
Yeah.
But it also helps other people, too.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Right. The underlying statute... passed a few years ago by who carried the original statute? Was it the senator, the previous senator from the Fourth, or was it the senator from the 15th?
I think it was the senator from the 15th.
I think it was. One thing this bill does is on. Well, why don't you walk it through me? Walk through the bill with me. Starting on the first page, I guess we have. This definition, this addition of physician, the definition of physician. What's the purpose of that? Why are we diagnosing physician in here?
Well, later on in the bill, it requires that that the statement be by a neurologist.
Right.
In the current law. And so we wanted to make sure that it wasn't just a neurologist that could order hemp oil, but it would also be a physician. So we defined
right.
the word physician. So it's basically just anybody licensed by the Board of Healing Arts and is qualified to diagnose and treat a serious condition.
Okay. And physicians defined licensed
right.
by the
that
Board
way,
of Healing Arts.
We're just defining the words for later in the bill.
Okay. So the bill passed, 3 years ago by the senator from the 15th. That confined the prescription of hemp oil to seizures, to intractable seizures. Did it limit it to pediatric epilepsy or any?
No, it was basically intractable epilepsy.
Okay, kids or adults.
You could give a hemp extract registration card to someone 18 years of old,
right.
18 years or older, Missouri resident, statement by a neurologist that the person had seizures, they had to pay a fee, and then under sub 5, you could also do it for children.
You could do it for children, right.
No.
And I think in part because of the concern about giving this extract to children, I think that was one of the rationales.
Yeah, that
for
was,
keeping.
It's under sub 3 is what it is on page
right.
3.
On
you know, it talks
three.
About a person older than 18 and then a person who is a parent.
Right.
So that's
right.
the part that I'm really most concerned about.
Right. Okay. Okay. So on the top of page 2, lines 21 through 28, 21 through 32, we have this new category of serious condition. So your bill would no longer confine this prescription of the hemp oil to epilepsy. It would epilepsy or seizure disorders. It would add all these other conditions, right?
It would.
It would. Okay. Okay.
And you know, Senator,
yeah.
we heard evidence in our committee about people who now deal in hemp oil, and they have lots. They provided the committee with lots of evidence that hemp oil actually does help these things.
Okay, yeah, that to me is one of my biggest issues with this bill, and what I need to spend some time discussing is what constitutes evidence here, because, you know, you and I are both physicians. Much of what we do, because neither of us are surgeons, so most of what we do on a day-to-day basis involves prescribing medications that are approved by the FDA for an indication, or we could even do off-label prescribing.
But, you know, we also are allowed totally, pursuant to our expertise, to offer medications that are off-label, that if we believe that it's in the best interest of our patient, we're allowed to go off-label, and even though they aren't approved for that use by the FDA.
That is right, and we are licensed as physicians in the state of Missouri to do that. Senator, are you aware of anywhere else in statute other than this chapter where the Missouri General Assembly has endorsed a particular substance in the treatment of a particular condition?
Well, I don't think we're doing that here. Well, we're not endorsing it. We're just simply maximizing the freedom to give it. I mean, this is all about liberty. This is about saying, we're not going to put you in jail, doctor, if you do what you think is best for, you know, our patient, including these children who are suffering from, like, maybe 100 seizures a day. I mean, it's a liberty thing. This is not about endorsing it.
But Senator, didn't we already say that the existing law allows this to be prescribed to children with seizures?
Yeah, except that it's not functionally working. Because the neurologists who would do it, like those who might be employed by, say, Children's Mercy Hospital or some other hospital, they are being told by their corporate office that this is too big of a political risk or a legal risk, and they are being told not to do it. And even though the neurologists want to do it, and they say to the patient, you know, I'd really like to do this, I am being told by my employer that I can't. And so for that reason, we need to expand out the number of people authorized to do it so that the kids can actually get what they need.
Right. Well, you know, that liability concern was brought up last year. And one thing that did make it through, and I forget on which vehicle last year, was what is now found on page 5, 192.947, which is probably one of the more sweeping exemptions from liability that I've seen anywhere in our statute books. And we've passed a lot of tort reform bills this year. And, you know, it starts, no individual or health care entity organized under the laws of this state shall be subject to any adverse action, and so on. So that was passed last year to try to reassure those physicians who might otherwise want to recommend or prescribe hemp oil, to give them a pretty sweeping liability exemption so that I suppose they can go and talk to their corporate attorneys at their hospitals and say, look, I can do this.
It didn't work.
And we heard testimony in committee that it didn't work, but are we really sure it didn't work, or could it be that some of these neurologists really just don't believe in hemp oil, that they really they've looked at the evidence, they've looked at the literature, and they're just not convinced?
Well, you know, all I can say is that I'm not a neurologist,
right?
But I have seen myself enough people with their stories about, and you know, that hemp oil helped them, and I've visually seen it myself transform a young woman with an inability to speak in just a short amount of time. And I can show you a video on the web of a person with a severe neurologic condition. He can hardly walk. He's just all bent. And within just 30 minutes, he can talk and walk and move around. It was dramatic, just amazing. And the problem, see, is that nobody wants to do the studies that are required to get that FDA approval. And one of the reasons is that it's a Class 1 drug. They're not going to do it.
Well, you know, Senator, have you gone to the website clinicaltrials.gov lately?
I haven't lately.
Yeah, so clinicaltrials.gov was initiated by the FDA five or 10 years ago, to list every study ongoing in the United States, federally funded, state funded, pharma funded. And at first, actually, the pharma industry wasn't so crazy about it because, you know, who wants their competitors to know what studies they're doing? But every clinical research study going on in the United States is listed on that site. And as it turns out, there are quite a few cannabinoid, I always have a trouble pronouncing that word, cannabinoid-based trials going on right now. And, of course, you've probably heard of GW Pharmaceuticals that has a number of products, cannabinoid-based chemicals. Of course, you're familiar with, as a physician, you're familiar with Marinol. There are cannabinoid-based drugs, Epidiolex and Sativex. There are, despite the prohibition and the Schedule I class.
I wanted to underscore that point. The FDA has actually approved cannabinoid products for being effective and said that they are effective. Like,
right.
For example, Marinol is effective for nausea. The FDA says it's effective, and it's effective.
Right. And the chronic wasting syndrome associated with AIDS. And what one of my biggest concerns here with this bill is that we here in the Missouri legislature are creating a new drug approval process, if you will. We are looking at the universe of all the substances out there, the most of which have to go to the FDA for the approval process, prove that they are safe and effective. Animal preclinical, phase one, phase two, phase three pivotal studies, and we're replacing that process that has existed since the Pure Food and Drug and Cosmetics Act, and we're replacing that with our own, with the judgment of the Missouri legislature. And
well,
I do have some issues.
I'm not sure
I
agree with that. I mean, right now, you can get like herbal extracts and all manner of different things legally over the counter that have never gone through any testing. I mean, a whole lot and things that might actually be
some of which like, are some of which probably
like,
are.
Like for example, yohimbine.
Or
ginkgo biloba. I mean, and some of these things...
Saw palmetto for prostate.
Right, and some of these things like actually create drug-drug interactions that can kill you if you aren't careful. Like MAO inhibitor, herbs that have MAO inhibitors in them that can interact with things and cause death. So, you know, I mean, I'm not aware of anybody who's had a really bad... result from CBD oil, are you?
I'm not.
I'm not
either. On the other hand...
I'm aware of people who have been helped by it, but I'm not aware of anybody who's been hurt by it. Never have heard of anybody hurt by it. And the thing about it is that if the FDA isn't going to move on it unless that they sell something that costs $10 a pill like Marinol... We need to help these children that have seizures to be able to get it and help all the other patients that have these, like cancer and various things. There's just no reason not to.
Let me ask you a question, Senator. Where do these hemp oils, where do they come from?
Well, basically, the hemp oil comes from the entire plant.
Right.
And what they do is they purify it to where it has not enough THC in it to get you high. I've been told that it takes 16 to get you high, but this only is going to have like 0.7 or some trace amount.
Well, I think your bill would increase it to 0.9%, right?
Yeah, I knew it was a low number. Not near enough to get you high, but...
It's my understanding that in the, say, 60s, street marijuana was probably in the 1% to 5% range.
Well, the...
range.
You know, you ditch weed doesn't even have very much in it.
Right.
And you could smoke it and smoke it and smoke it, and it wouldn't really work.
Yeah, ditch
weed
is probably way below.
But now, of course, the marijuana that you get is much, much higher. And like, I haven't heard that business about 1 to 3... that you just said, I'm not going to challenge it, though.
Let me ask just a different question. It's my understanding there is a grow operation or two in the state of
Missouri
right now.
There are two, and they have invested millions of dollars in them, and they're struggling, and mainly because they can't even get it to the kids with seizures that need it, you know, because this neurologist won't prescribe it. So you know what people are doing? They're ordering their CBD oil online, and it's being shipped into Missouri.
Right.
In fact, you know, my daughter had a cat with a brain tumor, and she ordered CBD oil for her cat with a brain tumor. My daughter said that it really helped her cat, that immediately her cat was more active, ran around the room more, but then, of course, you know, it doesn't cure the brain cancer. It just helped the cat have a better quality of life for its last 2 to 3 weeks. And so you know, you've got people who are doing this and getting this for their children, and it's not got a standardized dosage. They're going to Colorado and getting it and bringing it back, putting themselves at legal risk.
Well, as you know, of course, the FDA has sent warning letters to a number of CBD oil manufacturers, and many of those manufacturers, their CBD oil contained no CBD. Many of them contained excessive amounts of THC. Now, how do we know that our two CBD manufacturers
because
in Missouri...
Because they use a chemical lab that actually reports it. I mean, this was something that we heard in committee, remember? That the lady who operates the one grower slash manufacturer, she reported that she sent hers to this reference lab, and I think she gave our committee a copy of one of their reports and so on.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. So these two labs, they actually have warehouses, and greenhouses, and they're growing marijuana plants. Is that legal under federal law?
Well, the question is, what is a federal law? And let me give you an answer.
Is it legal under...
Like for example...
Did the DEA consider those marijuana gardens to be legal?
I mean, here's the question that I have. If the federal government is ignoring some words that are written in the statute book, is that a law? Like you know that President Obama directed the prosecutors across the land to ignore the law in states that had a medical marijuana law.
Now, is it appropriate for the President of the United States to tell every U.S. attorney in the United States to ignore the law?
I think it was extremely inappropriate. It was wrong, but he did it. And so what he did was he created a situation where if you broke the law in Missouri, you'd end up sitting in Leavenworth in the prison, but whereas if you broke the law in Colorado, no big deal. We look the other way. Well, that's not a law that we should really have a lot of respect for one thing, and we shouldn't have we should be up in arms that is being done. But further than that, my bill doesn't affect the federal law. If we pass this bill,
right,
it will only affect the state law.
Right. But do we not give an implicit endorsement to the breaking of federal law? Do we not break federal law?
But my question to you is,
these warehouses that are growing marijuana plants
I understand
are not
your
breaking
argument.
Federal law.
Senator, I understand your argument, but the bottom line of it is that you're arguing for the previous bill. The current law breaks the federal law. The law that is already on the books breaks the federal law, and I'm not asking to replow that ground. That ground has been plowed. It's turned. Now we have the problem of the reason why we did it isn't really getting the need met. It isn't getting the drug to those children with seizures that need it. And so what I'm saying is, let's not rehash that.
Okay.
It's like we've already hashed it. Let's just move to get the drug to the kids that need it.
Well, let's rehash a new ground. So you
don't want to rehash
that. You do mention kids. Is THC good for the developing human brain?
Well, I mean, if it helps these kids with seizures not have seizures.
Well, wait a second. Is it generally thought that these THC helps kids with seizures, or the CBD, the cannabidiol, helps the kids
with seizures?
You know,
there is some question from child-to-child variability that, some believe when, because, I mean, there have been, by the way, kids with cancer and kids with seizures, and those Venn diagrams overlap, Senator, such that there are some kids with seizures that also have cancer. And there have been cases of kids with cancer and seizures who were given Marinol or the, something like that. And
were they given Marinol or Epidiolex or Sativex?
Sorry?
Were they given Marinol, which is pure THC, or were they given CBD, one of the CBD products, or Epidiolex?
All I know is that there is some evidence that some seizures are also treated by THC. And it isn't only the CBD. But the point is that it's very difficult to eliminate all of the THC from the CBD oil.
Yes.
And so a trace amount is thought to not hurt these kids.
Right. But a trace amount was allowed in the original bill from 3 years ago. You increased that percentage to 0.9% in this bill. I was wondering the rationale for that.
Just that it's very difficult and expensive to do that. And I don't think that it says that it has to have that amount. I think we heard evidence from the person who was running the farming / production company that they were going to provide different formulations, you know, so you could get the lower THC amount. And, I think that it was that it would be more expensive to do that.
You're right. It doesn't require that a certain amount of THC be in this oil. Now let's get to what it is required to have. The existing law requires that it have 5% CBD or cannabidiol, and you lower that from 5% to 1.5%. What is your rationale there?
It just simply because there are some very small children who that would be easier to give drops of, you know, in a dropper. That was explained to me.
That's been explained to me pretty unconvincingly because they don't seem to have heard of, like, droppers or syringes or something where you can drop small quantities. I mean, it seems to me that maybe the motivation of that section is they're having a hard time producing a high-quality, high-potency, high-CBD product, and they're asking for permission from the legislature to cut their stuff.
Well, I don't think that was the case at all, Senator.
Okay.
I think that... it doesn't say that all of it has to be that. It's just giving them permission to make the more dilute formulation. And the reason given was that there are people who can control the dose better in their child if it is a little bit more dilute. Instead of giving, you know, 1/4 of a cc, they could give a cc. Or 1/10 of a cc, they could give 4/10 of a cc. I mean, that's so much easier to deal with.
Yeah, you know, I think I have a when we're talking about kids, when you say one of the main rationales for this bill is to make this, and I'd be willing to work with you on a bill that makes it easier for neurologists to prescribe to kids or adults with refractory epilepsy a bill that makes that a little easier. I think maybe the word refractory in the existing statute is a problem. I do have a lot of issues with giving THC to kids because I think the evidence that actually helps pediatric seizure disorders is very modest, and the evidence that it is bad for the developing brain even so far as lowering IQ points in adolescents who consume THC regularly.
Well,
I'm very disturbed
kids,
at that.
Some of these kids that have seizures, I mean, like, you don't have any, like, hard evidence that all kids who take CBD oil have lowered IQ points.
No, I'm not saying CBD oil. I'm saying THC. And what I'm saying is one of the things your bill does is increases the percentage of CBD, THC. That could be in that product.
But do you have any evidence that amount of THC that...
I think there's lots of evidence. There's lots of evidence that THC is bad for the developing brain. Thank you for your inquiry, Senator. Mr. President?
Senator from the second, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the Senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew. Senator from Andrew, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from the second?
Mr. President, I certainly do.
You may proceed, Senator.
Thank you for the inquiry, Senator.
Well, good afternoon. How are you, Senator?
I am doing great. How are you?
Well, great. This is kind of an interesting bill, isn't it,
This
Senator?
Is a really interesting bill. I think it really is. You know, and I think these sections of our law were passed with the best of intentions, sponsored by the former senator from the 15th, I really admire him and his passion for this issue of pediatric epilepsy. But what I see in front of us, Senator, is a bill that pretty dramatically expands this, what was a very, very, very narrow indication, a very narrow bill, and it becomes a really, expansive bill.
Yeah, I see that too. It looks like it does increase the percentage of the THC in the bill. And Senator, I've got one question for you. On page 5 of the bill,
yes.
192.947,
yes.
Line 15. It looks like it removes a liability or something that defines very closely that this does not remove the liability. So with taking that section out, does that mean that nurses, physicians, pharmacists no longer could be held liable?
You've got a good point here, Senator, because I didn't notice that with my reading of the bill, in 192.947, I believe we passed last year to offer a pretty expansive liability exemption for physicians, neurologists who.
We passed it last year.
Recommend the oil. Last year. Yeah, that section, I believe, was that liability exemption language.
Yeah. Well, this is the section shall not be construed to limit the rights provided under law for a patient to bring a civil action or damages against a physician, hospital, registered or licensed practical nurse, pharmacist, or other individual entity providing health care services or an employee of the existing entity listed in this section. So by taking that out,
right.
Does that then say that the rights of the patient are limited?
I think you're right. So it
is it just meaningless?
It shall not be construed to the limits. So last year, you were explicitly stating, look, if someone commits malpractice on you by recommending this product,
you could sue them. You can sue.
And now, essentially, if we bracket that out. And I know we don't have legislative intent in Missouri. It sure sounds we're now saying that no, you can't. You
can't
sue someone,
if someone
malpractices
wrong.
Upon your child.
I may ask that question of the sponsor, but I don't quite understand it. Maybe it is duplicative. Maybe it's in there. Maybe it's already taken care of. Maybe it's already assumed. I just don't quite understand taking that section out.
You share my confusion
on that.
I do too. I don't really understand that.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't understand that. Yeah, yeah. I mean, one section and I was lobbied pretty intensively on this issue last year, and I always told the former senator from the 4th I'd be willing to work with him on certain aspects of this bill. But one part that it seemed like the lobbyists who were pushing the bill just never could get beyond is I didn't see why this bill has to give these manufacturers permission to, and I'm just going to use the words, cut their stuff. The bill, as you see on line 6, just below what the
composed of at least 1.5% cannabinoid.
Yeah. So in other words, the cannabidiol, and I always have trouble pronouncing the cannabidiol, the CBD. Is thought to be the good stuff.
That's the good thing. That's the positive thing for
that's
these seizure
thing.
Disorders.
That helps the seizure disorders
okay.
And all. And I think it. And honestly, there's some modest evidence that it does. You know, I mean, I think people come to committees and tell us, it's a miracle drug, but I think when you actually look at where it's been studied, I think there's modest to moderate evidence. That it actually helps. But anyway, the drug thought to be the good stuff is the CBD, the cannabidiol.
The cannabidiol.
Chemical.
What is the product right above that in subsection 1? It looks like we're increasing that percentage.
Yeah, we're
and that's the tetrahydrocannabinol.
Yeah, and that's the THC.
That's the THC. That's the product that gives you the high, is that
it
correct?
It is. It is.
Okay.
The product that gives you the high. And
is that considered helpful for seizure disorders?
No, not that I know of. And we actually have an FDA-approved product called Marinol which is pure THC. Marinol is what THC is, that physicians can prescribe for a number of indications.
Okay.
The two indications are nausea, vomiting associated with cancer, chemotherapy, and then the chronic wasting syndrome associated with AIDS. Now, we don't see as much AIDS anymore. You know, most people...
Well, that's a blessing, isn't it?
HIV, it really is a blessing.
Yeah,
HIV
it is.
Has become a chronic disease as opposed to a death sentence. When I was in training in the mid-90s, pretty much 100% of HIV-positive patients died within a number of years. So we don't see the HIV, or rather AIDS chronic wasting syndrome, as much anymore. But the FDA has approved THC or Marinol for those two indications. But if we say we're doing this, like so many things in this building, we're doing this for the children, I don't see any evidence that... that upping that CBD, or rather that THC percentage, is doing anything for those kids with pediatric epilepsy. So I have some issues with that. But in the next line, you know, two lines down from there, we're cutting the percentage from 5 to 1 and 1. The good 1.5% stuff, the CBD,
of the stuff that's good.
The good stuff from 5 to 1.5, and the senator from Buchanan said, well, the reason for that is so that you know you can. You know, kind of titrate down the kids' doses. You know, you need the weaker stuff for the kids. But you know, I don't know. My kids are old enough now that they swallow pills. But back when they can, it couldn't. Even when they were real little, we would get the syringes from the pharmacy and we'd drop one cc or a cc.
I remember amoxicillin, boy.
Yeah.
We used a lot of that.
Yeah, amoxicillin. You'd probably give 5 cc's 3 times a day.
The pink stuff.
You know, with one of those syringes, and those are very inexpensive. They're so inexpensive that the pharmacy usually gives them away for free. You can drop exactly what you want. So I'm wondering if, and again, when I was talking, negotiating with the marijuana lobbyists last year over this bill, that was the sticking point. I think Senator Kevin and I thought we were making progress, but these percentages right here we find at the bottom of page 5. Those were the impasse. And I remember one time they were in my chief of staff's face almost screaming at her. They got this close from getting barred from the office because they had to have these percentages. And I wonder, why are they asking for permission to cut their stuff? And, because that seemed to be they had to have that go from 5 to 1.5%. And all you can say is they're diluting their stuff 3 to 1, so they're going to make 3 times as much profit as all I can figure out. Because, again, we have things called syringes. So in a way, what I said to the former senator from the 4th, I have a number of concerns about this bill, but one is consumer protection.
Sure.
Do you think, a bottle right now is of this stuff is $60? You know, they're going to dilute it 3 to 1, and they're going to charge probably $60.
It'll take 3 times the dosage to get the same amount of...
Of CBD.
Positive of it.
Yeah. And in fact, when I started doing the math on this, I looked up how much CBD is recommended to treat seizure disorders. It's substantial. For someone your size or my size, we're talking about, tablespoons of this stuff. So it's not like...
I probably have to have, yeah.
We might have to have a lot. And I am really thinking, Senator, we need this. This is one of the. I have other issues here with the bill, but I'm thinking that maybe it's probably time to think about working on this bill. I am thinking maybe an amendment to, because I haven't seen any good evidence that we ought to be cutting the stuff here. And I'm thinking maybe we ought to change this bill and leave the CBD content the same. And let's see where.
Would you leave the THC content the same
think,
as well?
Yeah,
back
think,
at the three tenths rather
I
than
think,
the 9%.
I think we need to. I think we need to. I think definitely we need to see.
be.
I'm looking for it. I'm gonna work on that. You know what? I think. Here we go. I think I. So we're looking at page five. Page five. 195-207.
192. Yes. Uh huh.
Yep. Okay. And
where it kind of defines what a hemp extract is.
And we are drafted to the Senate bill. There is no sub.
So you've got something in your hand there. You're
I have something here in my hand, but let's see. I have something. Page 5, 195. You know what? I think there's a drafting error in the amendment because I found the right thing. Okay, I'm just going to change it by hand. It's section 195. 207, line 6, and I think that percentage needs to be kept the same. So I, Mr. President, thank you for the inquiry, Senator. I'm sure there'll be a lot more to talk about. Thank you.
Senator from the second, what purpose do you rise?
I have an amendment.
Please send your amendment forward, and has your amendment been distributed?
It has not, but I will not close until it has been distributed. I would move for a waiver of the reading.
The senator from the second requests a waiver of the reading. Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, do you care to move for the adoption of the amendment?
Yes, I move for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1.
And do you care to explain your amendment?
Yes, Senate Amendment Number 1 basically addresses on page 5, 195-207, line 6, in that the bill reduces the required percentage of CBD. Again, CBD cannabidiol is the good stuff that's supposed to be good for seizure disorders and other problems. For reasons that have never been adequately explained to me, this bill reduces that percentage from 5 to 1.5%. I don't think that's a good change, so my amendment just takes out that change in the bill.
Does any senator desire to be heard on Amendment Number 1? Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
Just to inquire of the senator from the second.
Senator from the second, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Buchanan?
I do.
Senator, okay. You may proceed.
Okay, so, Senator, you realize that the family could take olive oil or some other substance and mix it in a...
And dilute it down right now.
3-to-1 proportion or 4-to-1 or whatever it is.
Sure.
3-to-1, and they would end up with the same proportion.
Sure.
So that doesn't seem to me to be a real big problem. If family's worried about giving the dose and giving too much, as long as they were able to measure
it
out and mix it, I mean, we're still giving them the opportunity to do that.
Sure.
I don't think that there's any real problem with your amendment at all. And so I don't have any problem with it. I'm not going to speak against it.
Okay. That sounds good. Thank you, Senator.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Amendment Number 1? Does any other senator desire to be heard on Amendment Number 1? Senator from Lewis, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from the second.
Senator from the second, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Lewis?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, I have not seen your amendment yet, but as I understood, you're only dealing with cutting the product, right?
Yeah. My big problem, and if you have the amendment or the bill in front of you, it's on page 5,
right.
195-207, line 6. It has never been explained to me why that percentage has to be reduced from 5 to 1.5%. We have syringes so that parents can drop as little as they want for small children. And when you start doing the math as to how much of this product would be needed for someone your size or my size, it ends up being large volumes. So I remember saying to the senator from the 4th last year, I have a number of issues with the bill, but this particular issue is kind of a consumer protection issue that the 5% was the amount agreed upon several years ago when the senator from the 15th carried this bill, and I saw no reason to give legal sanction to dilute the product on a 3-to-1 basis.
I just got a copy of your amendment. So you're actually just replacing that line or putting it back to the way it was.
I'm basically putting it back to the way it was. Yeah, the bill would bracket out 5 and replace it with 1.5. The amendment would basically strike that whole line and just put the 5% back like it was. Yeah.
You know, as I look at that section, though, and actually I think it's in – 2 other places besides that section where they're actually raising the percent of THC.
Right.
It goes from 0.3% to 0.9%.
Right.
And I was listening to the discussion earlier.
Yeah.
And I questioned that.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, I didn't think your amendment was dealing with that part.
We're not there yet.
I hadn't heard a good reason why the THC was going up if the oil is the product that really
Precisely, Senator. Yeah, all the evidence I've seen for these neurologic conditions, and the best evidence is for seizures. The evidence is that the THC is the good stuff. I didn't really see any reason why to increase that. I'm sorry, the CBD is the good stuff. I didn't see any reason to increase that THC percentage. So, I think that's something else. And you're right, that doesn't need to be amended just in one place. There are multiple places in the bill. So I think that's something we've got to look at as well.
I hadn't heard a reason why. I know I've looked at industrial hemp. I think it could be a great product that could be used here in Missouri.
Right.
For agriculture. Kentucky's doing a lot of research on it, and really, really good research is looking to both the hemp oils as well as the hemp fibers. But in that production, I know the THC level has to be less than 0.3%.
Less than 0.3%. And yeah, the 0.3% was the number that was in the the original existing statute is 0.3%. Right, right.
In this also, and I was wondering, and I'll probably ask a senator from the 34th,
yeah,
because I don't know if they're having trouble keeping the levels below 0.3% or why the reason is that, and I wanted to ask you because you have an amendment up on the floor.
And Senator, that's what it seemed to me, is that the bill is passed, by the senator from the 15th, 3 or 4 years ago. There were a lot of, I think, kind of quality control and consumer protections in the bill, and I just don't want to see those diluted.
Okay. Well, as far as the THC, that's what I question that if they were having troubles, but I do know in the hemp, it has to be 0.3% or less.
I think the industrial hemp bill has always been at 0.3.
Yeah, it always has been. And this was, too, to start with. And since I've now seen your amendment, it doesn't deal with that. I'll probably go ahead and ask the senator from the 34th if they're having trouble staying below the 0.3%. Or why the THC level is going to be raised, and
right.
Maybe
I don't know exactly why they want to do it. I did ask that in committee, but I didn't get a real good answer on it. So if you want to inquire of a different senator on that issue,
I might go ahead and do that.
Okay,
thank you, Senator. Mr. President,
is any other senators desire to be heard on Amendment Number 1? Senator from Lewis, what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to inquire the senator from the 34th.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Lewis?
Yes.
Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. don't know if you were listening to my conversation with the senator from the second. I know you had a side conversation going on. But as I look at this, there are multiple places in the bill that
at least three, yeah.
Yeah, at least three, that raises the THC. And I didn't hear in your initial conversation with the senator from the second why the THC has to go up. Are they having trouble keeping below 0.3%? Is there adequate information saying that THC needs to go higher? I haven't heard that, so can you address that issue?
Well, I believe that it's a matter of the refining process wouldn't have to be so long, and I think that there's a secondary factor that they think that it might actually work better for the kids and for people by having a tiny bit more available.
Is it THC or cannabidiol that actually helps?
Well, there's evidence patients. That both do. You know, listen, we're not going to die on the sword over the 0.9 to 0.3 thing. You know, if the senator from the second might compromise and do 0.5 or so, that'd be good. But if it's just like we're not going to let them have a tenth of an ounce more or whatever, I understand. I mean, like, the bill is more important. I mean, it's the CBD oil that we're trying to get done here. If what we think is an improvement you think is a deal killer, we don't want to kill the bill over it.
I haven't heard that it is an improvement. You know, that's why I was asking why you're raising this. I think I realize the intent of the bill. I know we have a lot of children, maybe some adults, that are having seizures, and there's some studies to show that cannabidiol can possibly help with that. I realize that. There might be other things that weren't listed, and I believe I've looked at your bill. You're actually expanding some of that. But I had not heard anything about THC. I know the cutting it, I can see profitability there as a potential reason for cutting the product. If you cut the product, though, I've got a question there. If you cut the product, then you've diluted the THC also, have you?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly correct. So if you give the...
You have to give more of it, you're back up, so your THC level goes up also.
Well,
meet the certain level of cannabidiol because it's in relation to the THC.
Right. And so, I mean, like, I don't mind letting parents cut it themselves because they're able to achieve what the purpose of that line was. It's just that they just wanted to sell a preparation with less in it so that, you know, they could control the dose better for little bitty kids. And so I mean, if that's a deal killer, I honestly don't believe that anybody was going to try to take advantage of the unsuspecting public. I mean, there's plenty of people out there right now selling CBD oil to Missourians over the Internet, and there's no quality control at all. So,
I also noticed further back in the bill, you've increased the number of, I'll just say, cultivars, growers, producers from 2 to 10.
Yeah, hopefully there will be an adequate amount of demand that, you know, we could have more competition because, you know, right now a vial of this stuff might cost $200. I mean, let's get a little competition going out there.
I hear you say that. I think fair market and competition is a good thing, but I thought I also heard you say, of course, with today's bill, today's law that we have, they're actually producing more than what is available through our structure to be used by those who may need it.
Right, and I think that this doesn't say there has to be. It just simply says that there can be, and You know, there's people that want to be able to get into this business. In fact, you might even, you as a farmer, you might decide that you have a plot of land.
I've been to these operations, and it's not what you would do on a farm.
Okay,
Now, industrial hemp, on the other hand, could very well be done on a lot of our
land. If we're going to do this, let's at least improve the competitive environment a little bit.
And these will still all be licensed by the Department of Agriculture, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm not.
As I read, you're not changing.
All stays the same.
You're not changing any of that. But, so you don't know of a real good reason that the THC is actually being raised other than possibly maybe in conjunction with the cannabidiol?
Well, the two thoughts that I've heard are that it's just easier in the processing, and the second one is that some people believe that a little bit of THC enhances the effect of the medication. But like I said, I don't want to die on that sword. If you're really concerned about it, take it out of the bill and let's move the bill.
I was looking in here another place, I thought, where the department is regulating it.
Yeah. Maybe on page 8.
I'm trying to look there. Yes. Now, as it is growing, they also can inspect and audit. Is that correct?
Yeah.
What's actually being grown? Okay, and that's where you're also raising it to 9/10. That was one of the other places that I saw it. So it might be 4 places that's actually listed in the bill. Yeah. Not 3, I think. Okay. Well, I haven't heard a distinct reason to raise the THC.
Well, the two that I told you, I mean,
it makes it easier
to process.
Production.
It isn't dangerous. I mean, we're not talking about any danger. And some people believe that that little bit of THC enhances the effect of the drug, that THC in and of itself has a positive benefit. So, like I said, if that's concerning to you, it's not critical to me.
Okay. I think there's more discussion to be had. I know the senator from the second has an amendment pending, and there very well could be some more discussion. I think I'll.
All right.
Thank you for the inquiry.
You're welcome.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on amendment number 1? Does it, senator from the second, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire with the senator from Lewis.
Senator from Lewis, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the second?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, I do want to get to a vote on this because I really do think this is a problem of cutting the amount of CBD. But I think you noticed something in the bill that I can't find. Where in the bill does it say the number of growers is increased from 2 to 10?
Page 8.
Page 8.
Line 56.
Page 8, line 56. Oh, yeah, there you go. These brackets where you have a three-letter word are easy to miss. Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah, because what I've heard a number of times is that, you know, hey, doctors are so reluctant to prescribe this stuff, even though we gave them this very broad-based liability exemption last year. They're so reluctant to prescribe CBD oil their business isn't thriving, they're not making money, and therefore we've got to expand the market to more conditions to help these businesses. And at the same time, they're increasing the number of licenses to 10. You know, I don't want to speculate on anyone's motives that having 10 as opposed to two warehouses growing marijuana around the state might be a step toward legalization. I don't want to speculate on that, but I just found that the 2 to 10 change, that to be curious, and I hadn't noticed that aspect of the bill.
Yeah, I caught that because I was looking at the production facilities, too. I still wonder about the THC level, and since it is in the same section as your amendment, I didn't know if you wanted to address both of those at the same time.
We could. I don't think it would be previously amended material. You know, when things are two lines away from each other, I don't think so. I'm probably happy with the CBD amendment. Going to a vote right now, and then we can move on to the THC issue thereafter.
Might take a little longer to draft an amendment to do away with the 9-10 since it's three places throughout the bill.
I think we've located those places in the bill, but we can always go through it and make sure we haven't missed anything.
As far as I know, it's page 5, line 4, in section 195.207, page 7, line 22. In section 261.265, and page 8, line 69.
Yeah.
That's okay. The place.
Yeah, you know, I was working on something, and I don't think I caught all instances of that. So maybe we could have Senate Research work on that amendment. I don't really have a preference one way or another whether we let this CBD amendment go to a vote and then move on, or whether we try to draft a substitute amendment or an amendment to the amendment. I think probably they're pretty interchangeable in their approach.
That's probably whatever the drafting table can do.
Yeah.
If we want to dispose of your amendment and do another one.
If we want to just dispose of my amendment, and then we can go on and do the THC amendment separately.
Why don't you go ahead with yours, and we'll see if they can draft one that tackles the THC.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the
inquiry.
Does any senator desire to be heard on Amendment Number 1? Does any senator desire to be heard on Amendment Number 1? Hearing none, Senator from the 2nd, you're recognized to close on Amendment Number 1.
I close.
The Senator from the 2nd renews his motion that Senate Amendment Number 1 be adopted. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment is adopted. We are now back on Senate Bill number 371 as amended. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 24th, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm seeking unanimous consent to introduce some special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on your left and my right, over on the side at the benches, we have two women who are here advocating for young people to have guardianship and to be well taken care of, and for children in foster care. They're here from St. Louis County, and with us we have Ellen Maher-Forney and Pat Bartow, and so I hope the chamber will make them feel welcome today.
Would the guests of the 24th please rise, and would the members of the Missouri Senate Chamber please make them welcome. Does any senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill 371? Is it Senator from Barry, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire of the Senator from the 2nd.
Senator from the 2nd, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from Barry?
He did, didn't he?
I do. As much as I would have liked to have trapped the Senator from Cole, I will belatedly yield to inquiry.
Senator from Barry, you may proceed.
Thank you. I want to go over a few things that are not clear to me on this particular medication. You know, the product called Marinol, is that correct?
Yeah, Marinol.
You know how much CBD the percentage of is in that particular, and how much THC?
I believe it's pure THC, and I'd have to.
Oh, it's pure THC.
It's pure THC. THC, yeah.
Okay.
And so, but you bring up a good point, which is, you know, if CBD has some indications, is good for some things, maybe seizures, maybe other neurologic conditions. And I say maybe because, you know, you and I as pharmacists and physicians respectively, we're used to prescribing and dispensing things that are proven by medical science and accepted by the FDA and in Europe by their regulatory agencies and in Japan by their regulatory agencies, established scientifically as safe and effective.
Yes. Yes, and when we have all the, you know, every little side effect that could happen in one in a million chances is the literature.
Oh, yeah, we're used to those from late-night TV programs. this drug's going to make you feel great, and it's going to be good for your condition, but it may do the following, a long list. And, you know, I think that's one problem I have with a bill like this. Essentially, we are supplanting the FDA drug approval process. You know, as you know, Senator, the FDA approval process, it starts with someone developing a chemical in a test tube, and then they use it on, they do experiments with it on cell receptors and cells in a petri dish, and if things look promising, they move on to animals.
Step-by-step process.
You know, yeah, and usually they start with little animals like mice, and they move up to bigger animals like rabbits, dogs sometimes. In some diseases, you're stuck with primates, I mean, as much as that's controversial. And then you go to phase one, where you actually expose it to humans to try to kind of get an idea of what the dose ought to be and what the toxicities ought to be. And then there's phase two, where you do a little bit of dose ranging. Okay, we think this drug's good for this, so we give, you know, like, we don't give 2, 3, or 4 milligrams. You give 1 milligram, 10 milligrams, 100 milligrams. You know, and, of course, that research, the VUE research volunteers are often healthy college students who hang out all weekend and do the drugs, get their blood drawn a lot. Those are called phase one, or rather phase two clinical trials. And then if things look promising, then we go on to more rigorously done clinical trials with larger groups of patients. You know, those are phase three trials. And, you know, instead of that, instead of that, you can just go to the legislature, file a bill, and get your poof.
And as you know, even with all those trials that have gone through years and years to get something approved,
right,
every now and then there's a drug that comes out that's been tested on hundreds of patients.
Thousands.
Thousands of patients. But when it gets into the millions of patients, I remember a drug called Vioxx for arthritis.
Oh, yeah, Vioxx, yes.
And it worked good.
It worked, yep.
But a few people were dying of heart attacks.
Of heart attacks, right. I could think of two other drugs. This was about 20 years ago. It was my early years in private practice.
Uh-huh.
And both were fluoroquinolones. And fluoroquinolones, of course, are a family of antibiotics.
Uh-huh.
And I remember within 2 years, both of them were withdrawn for very serious side effects. Now, the one drug was called Trovan, if you remember Trovan.
Yes.
Trovan was a fluoroquinolone. It was really good. It was broader spectrum even than Levaquin, which we have now. It covered gram-negative, covered anaerobic organisms. That was its selling point. And it was proven safe and effective by the FDA. But lo and behold, they got it onto the market, and when hundreds of thousands of patients took it, liver failure and liver transplantation was necessary. The other one, I don't remember its name, it caused such bad photosensitivity, to the light.
I remember that, but I'm trying to think.
That people were getting sunburned just under the fluorescent light bulbs at their workplace.
It might have been a tetracycline product.
Was it a tetracycline? Yeah.
I don't remember exactly.
It was an antibiotic, and it was about the same time as Trovan. That may be why I'm thinking that it was a fluoroquinolone. But it clearly was not good. And so that's even with the very rigorous FDA drug approval process that we go through. we still have those problems. You know, the other thing that occurs to me...
And the federal government is completely not even in this bill. The federal government is not even in
this bill. Well, the federal government's not even in this bill. And, you know, as I sometimes point out with this, with bills like this, is that we really are supplanting... We're really kind of ignoring federal law in order to do this. If it weren't for the Obama administration deciding not to enforce federal drug law, essentially Obama ordering the prosecutors, the U.S. attorneys around the country to stand down and not enforce laws regarding marijuana, we wouldn't be here at all.
No.
You know, now that being said, you know, CBD is fairly benign stuff. But the other thing that really bothers me about doing this as opposed to letting things go through the FDA approval process is that, you know, when, you know, a lot of patients these days take low dose aspirin and very, very popular, but we tell people to take aspirin. We don't tell them to gnaw on willow bark, right? We we prescribe digoxin or digitalis. We don't tell them to go get some foxglove plants out of the woods and start eating that.
No.
So I'm glad that there are federal trials on cannabinoid substances, and I'm glad that there are for-profit pharma companies like GW Pharma that is developing cannabinoid-based drugs to study. And to look whether there really is some benefit to these, these various drugs. But you know, there are downsides too, especially when we're talking about, again, a bill that's increasing the THC content that we're going to be giving to kids with epilepsy.
Yeah, and I heard a little bit of comment about, well, maybe the THC helps some in the condition. And I haven't seen that.
I mean, it helps some conditions. So,
yes.
Again, Marinol is FDA-approved for nausea, vomiting with chemo. Yeah. And THC is approved by the FDA for the chronic wasting syndrome associated with AIDS.
But can you connect that with epilepsy?
No, or with pediatric epilepsy.
Can you connect that with other... post-traumatic stress?
No, I really don't. We don't. And you know, we know, you know, as a physician, I sometimes say, I feel like maybe some of the doctors and pharmacists back in the 1950s probably felt, where we see every study, every medical clinical trial I see, the doctors in the 50s saw, make a given substance look worse and worse, and yet the social acceptance of that substance, tobacco then, marijuana now, is growing. I feel like I'm as a physician who's not in favor of legalizing marijuana, I feel like I'm bucking a trend. And specifically, though, with kids, the evidence of the bad effects of THC on the developing human brain are vast. I don't know if you saw the study published about a year ago, I believe it was, in one of the major medical journals, I believe maybe Journal of the American Medical Association, suggesting that marijuana use during adolescence is associated actually by a lowering of IQ points.
I've seen that report. And that's why I was concerned when the senator from Lewis noticed that the THC count went from 0.3% to 0.9%. And I'm glad that he noticed that. And if he wouldn't have done something, I would have done something about it also. Because I'm not sure. How do you know how much to dose
for
a certain disease state?
Well,
I mean, is it just guesswork?
We really don't. We don't. In one sense, we don't. So when we were talking about this issue last year, when I was talking with Senator Kevany about whether we should allow these companies to dilute their stuff, I went and did some math and it took me a long while to figure out. I searched a lot of literature before I found any suggestion of what the effective dose of CBD
lots of disease states under serious condition. You've got cancer-positive st- status for human immunodeficiency virus.
Acquired
immune deficiency syndrome, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, Parkinson's, multiple. It goes on and on here. And, you know, where we come from, if you have a certain, say you have Parkinson's syndrome, and you know that, you know what the dose should be for that patient, and you can start off with a low dose usually and see if that controls the symptoms, and then you can kind of gradually increase it, but you have a definitive dose that you know that's this is what we should start off with.
Right.
And with this, man, I would hate to be the patient and be dosed very incorrectly. You know, it's one thing, you know, when people come up and ask me about, herbs and things like that, and I say, well, this particular product is probably harmless. Whether or not it helps you or not, you know, it's okay, but at least I can tell them that it doesn't hurt anything. But in this instance, I don't know. I certainly, as a pharmacist, would not be able to have any knowledge as to recommend any dosages for any of these things.
Well, that's right. That's right. And I don't know, Senator, whether I, as a physician, really feel comfortable, especially when we're talking kids.
And they're developing.
The developing brain. I actually am really one, as I was looking at this bill, I was thinking, I mean, just everything I'm learning about the neurologic effects. You know, the other thing we see with THC exposure is an increase of psychotic illnesses. It seems that THC can create psychosis. Of course, in massive overdoses, it can create psychosis. But it seems to be the initiating factor of psychotic diseases like schizophrenia in folks who otherwise wouldn't have had schizophrenia. Especially when we're talking about the developing brain. So my own inclination in this bill would be to take that THC level not just back to the 0.3 of existing statute, because, again, you know, we don't have double-blind placebo-controlled trials right now on any of this stuff. And as you say, we don't have dose-ranging studies on the, 10 or so different conditions mentioned in this bill. But at very least, we could protect these kids who, until I see a lot more evidence that CBD oil is good for all these different conditions, I think eventually I want to offer an amendment to bracket all of that out.
Okay.
But really, I think that at very least we could protect these kids, because, again, that's where the Senator from Buchanan, he led with, this is to protect the kids with epilepsy. I think the THC percentage should probably be zero, not even 0.3.
Yeah, you know, if on nutritionals, you buy an herb from a place, a pharmacy or general nutrition or whatever it might be, and it says, you know, this is not a drug, this is a nutritional supplement.
Right.
Well, in this case, this is not a nutritional supplement. There is a drug in here, and we don't know what dose to use for that particular drug. And I've got lots of places checked off here in this bill.
Right.
That I would like to talk about in the future or today that I have concerns with. But I believe that the amendment is ready from the senator from the 18th, so I will sit down for right now.
Okay. You know what? I don't know whether the senator from the 18th was planning on... I think
Okay, well, I will end inquiry.
Okay, thank
now.
You.
Is that all right?
Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the second.
Do you inquire of the senator from Lewis?
Senator from Lewis, do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from the second? You may proceed.
Yes, Senator, I see you've had an amendment distributed that would drop that THC percentage in the – I previously had a bill that I – or had an amendment that I think missed a place or two, but I think you worked with Senate Research on changing that percentage THC down to the point – you know, back to the 0.3% that's in the existing statute. Were you thinking about offering that sometime soon, or I have some other ideas, but I could prepare an amendment to your amendment, perhaps.
I don't think I need an amendment to my amendment.
Okay.
I think 0.3%. I mean, that's standard in industrial hemp and other production.
That's what I'm wondering. Industrial hemp obviously is very low THC. And so that is kind of the standard in the various industrial hemp bills around the country.
It is. I mean, when I was in Kentucky and looked at their research, that's what they were going for. Like I say, standard for actually, I believe it's in the 2014 Federal Farm Bill. It specifies what it can be.
Okay.
More than 0.3 yeah. of 1%.
Of course, the only difference between this. You know, this oil and the industrial hemp is the industrial hemp was never meant to be consumed by humans, much less humans with developing brains, you know, children.
True, maybe not consumed as such as this. You're talking
right.
about medical, however, it's not approved.
Right.
But industrial hemp, some of the oils are used by consumers from industrial hemp. I mean, there's hand lotions and there's a lot of other things like that.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And they're really very good, Senator.
Yeah, yeah. But not ingested and.
No, not ingested.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Okay. Okay. Well,
0.3%, I think, is what's standard across the board, and that's where I'd like to see it stay, really.
Okay. But, and that of course was where the bill was, several years ago. Okay. Well, no, I appreciate it, Senator. You thinking about offering this amendment?
Yes, I've got it drafted, and
okay.
I think I'm ready to rock and roll.
So I'll end my inquiry, and thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from Lewis.
I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
It has been distributed. I ask for a waiver of the reading, and I move for its adoption.
Senator from Lewis requests a waiver of the reading. Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. The adoption has been moved for. Senator, would you like to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. All this amendment does, it reverts in the language in this current bill back to what it was at 0.3%, which is actually a common and a standardized level used across the industry as far as industrial hemp and as far as what was used in the previous language to satisfy the cannabidiol in the previous legislation that passed 3 years ago. And I'll be glad to answer any questions.
The senator from Lewis has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 2. Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire of the maker of the amendment.
Senator from Lewis, do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from the 7th?
I do.
You may proceed.
Good afternoon, Senator.
Senator, how are you?
Doing well. Just want to talk about your amendment. So tell me exactly what you're doing.
What?
What are you doing with your amendment?
I'm putting it back to what it was at 0.3% instead of 0.9%.
And why wouldn't – now, you know I am for a full, and I could have offered as an amendment, a full medical marijuana legislation that I filed, and then we could be having that debate on this bill. But I'm not.
You're not?
I'm not.
Well.
Because the folks who, Dr. Schroff, or, go ahead, do it. Mr. President, I wanted to give you the opportunity to swing that gavel.
Senator, the names of senators are not to be uttered on this floor. Please proceed appropriately.
He swings a mean gavel, doesn't he?
He swung that pretty hard. Yes. The senator from the 34th,
yes.
He is doing this for the right reasons, and these young people really need to have this medicine made available to them. So I don't want to confuse the issue with an expansion bill and not get this done. But at the same time...
Not get what done?
Get not. I don't want to get this legislation done.
Oh, you didn't want to expand it into a full blow? Okay, gotcha.
Right. I mean, I do, and we may, and I know that the senator from Franklin has a bill, again, because my contention is that states that have medical cannabis laws reduce the number of opioid addiction, abuse, and overdose, and we have studies that show that. And so if you're going to have a PDMP that's designed to reduce opioid addiction, abuse, and overdose, then why not do something that scientifically does it?
Well, what I see here is, and what I've heard the 3 years ago when we passed the original bill, was that it was the oil, and right. not the THC. And I haven't seen anything, I hadn't heard anything today, really, why THC level should be raised. And 0.3% is pretty much the standard across the industry. I know it is for industrial hemp. And that is actually what currently is being produced. That's the level they've been at.
Well, let me take this opportunity to explain a little bit about the marijuana plant from more of a biological or botanistic standpoint. There are 85 cannabinoids that exist within the cannabis plant. They do a variety of different effects that they do on the human body. There are also different strains. Are you familiar with different strains of the plant?
I know there are different strains. I am not familiar with any of them.
Okay. It's probably a generational thing between us, if I was to guess.
Very well could be, Senator.
Well, the two dominant strains are indica and sativa. Indica has properties that are more physical, body effect. Sativa would be affecting the more cerebral side of the euphoria. The tetrahydrocannabinoid, which is the THC, has pain management properties. So the CBDs, part of one of those 85 cannabinoids, essentially deals with preventing and trying to reduce the seizures. But the THC levels help with the pain management. When they prescribe it to those who are in terminal treatment for cancer or HIV, the THC is just as important of a component in that treatment as the cannabinoids because of the pain relief that it provides. And so going from 0.3 to 0.9 has pain reduction properties that will aid in the medicine being effective. And that's where I think they increase this, because 0.9% is still very small. To give you an example, the percentage of THC in cannabis that you might have gotten in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s were going to be somewhere between the 15% to 20% as far as the concentration.
I'm glad to let you know I didn't do that.
Well, you probably missed an opportunity then. But today, because they engineer the strains and they're able to produce it in a way where they can separate and can control the potency, the average flower that you're gonna get in Colorado and in a medical side of the distribution is going to be anywhere between 20 and 30%. Most of them ranging between 23 and 27% THC. Now, if you think about that, 23 to 27. From there, you go to what's called butter and wax. That'll be 60 to 70%. And all of this was designed as treatment for cancer patients that were going through chemotherapy. The final level of refinement for the product is called shattered, and that's at 90% THC. And they use butane to extract the THC, and it turns it what looks like into glass, and then they vaporize it. And that's for those who are at end-of-life care, is the shattered.
Is that the kind, I forget what the senator from the 2nd, being a doctor, and I believe the senator from the 34th, were talking about what they could use, I believe was an extract from the marijuana as a treatment for cancer patients?
Well, he might have been talking about the synthetic version of Marinol.
Yeah.
Marinol is a synthetic compound that mimics the cannabinoids, but it is not the same as the natural extract. So shattered is actually, it has actually
about
THC.
The same level?
I'm not sure what the levels, you know, Marinol is usually consumed as an edible. You would digest it into your system. You can smoke cannabis in the old way that you're used to seeing, you know, popular culture. But you can also vaporize it now, or you can eat it as an edible, or you can drink it as a consumable beverage. Because the cannabinoids and the THC are be able to extract it from the plant. Now, again, I tell you this because this science, this medicine, has evolved a great deal from the reefer madness days of just saying that, you know, if you use marijuana, then you are a hippie or whatnot. I mean, a lot of people juice it for a variety of different ailments, arthritis of their hands. We've heard lots of folks come in and testify how they use marijuana. Now, 0.9%. Now, I just told you that the average flower is going to be between, you know, 20 to 30% THC. So to go from 0.3 to 0.9 is not even remotely, I don't even think that it's going to produce any type of psychotropic effect. But it could produce some inflammation reduction, and it could produce minor pain management within the cannabinoid products. So I think that if this said 9% THC instead of 0.9%, then you would say, well, I don't know if I want kids consuming 9% THC. But 0.9, it's not even 1% of what it would require for you to feel the effects of it.
Senator, I guess my issue is, and I think we have a lot to see what's going on with the new administration as far as how they're going to look at all of these laws that the states have passed. I do know 0.3% is what was in the 2014 federal farm bill for the industrial hemp. And that's why it was in the original language we had. That's why I'm trying to
Okay, well, I wanted to at least make sure that you understood that 0.9% is still no amount of THC.
Senator, I did go to Colorado, and I was with the Colorado Department of Revenue, which regulates it, but I did tour some of their marijuana production facilities and distribution facilities.
You saw that it was a legitimate commercial business.
It was a business. How legitimate, I don't know. It was strictly cash operation with many huge gun safes in the place. But it was interesting to look at that and see how Colorado was trying to deal with it. And I do know that they said you want to get all your ducks in a row a long time ahead of when it takes place in your state.
Well, I'm gonna conclude this inquiry and just vote no on your amendment because 0.9% is not detrimental to the cause. But I would say you saw that in Kansas City on April 4th, almost 75% voted in favor of the decriminalization, essentially, for under 35 grams, $25 ticket, no jail time. 75% means Republicans and Democrats supported it. we can't get 75% consensus.
Are there Republicans in Kansas City?
There are. I represent a lot of them. I hear from a lot of them. They actually feel very comfortable sharing their views with me, so I hear from a lot of them.
Okay.
But the bottom line is that it's hard to get 75% of the American populace to agree on anything at this point. But it was the number one. It led the ballot questions by almost 10 points. And I'm just telling you that sometimes the legislature is slow. Sometimes the people's representatives are behind the people's sentiments. And so while today we're taking a very small step for a very small group of people, this reform will happen. And just like there's 29 states that have passed medicinal reform. There are 8 states that have passed recreational use. California, the fifth largest economy in the world, has passed it.
I can tell you, Colorado Department of Revenue, who regulates that industry, they said they'd made some major mistakes, and they wasn't sure yet that it was the right thing to do.
Well, 25% of the United States citizenry.
That's a whole different issue, really.
Just the last thing I'll say is 25% of the United States citizenry now live in a separate state of laws than the other 75.
Three senators standing. Senator from Barrie.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask unanimous consent for a point of personal privilege.
Seeing no objection, proceed with your point of personal privilege.
Thank you, and I'm sorry to interrupt the debate, but this is very, very important. In this body today, we have a birthday girl. And her first name is Heidi, and I would like to wish her a very happy birthday.
Would the Senate, in some way that is appropriate within the Senate, wish the staffer named Heidi a happy birthday? Senators, you may proceed.
You know, I already wished her happy birthday early this morning.
Happy birthday.
Personally, so... I don't know if the senator from wherever is just slow or whatever. You know.
Right. Well, I don't mind being interrupted for such important news.
Three senators standing. The senator from Clay.
Thank you, Mr. President. I seek unanimous consent to introduce special guest.
Seeing no objection, proceed with your introduction.
Thank you, Mr. President. I thought it was timely since the senator from the 7th just said he didn't mind being interrupted. And today we have with us on the side former Representative Chris Kelly from your neck of the woods, Mr. President. And today he's here. I think we're having a former House Budget Chairman's get-together here in a little while, and he's back in the building, so I wanted the body to make him feel welcome.
Will the Senate make the former Representative from Boone County feel welcome? Senators, you may proceed.
Okay. So
are we done?
Okay. We're almost done. The last thing I'll say is, you know, if you look at the history of this country and you look at the history of the prohibition movement and then the repeal of prohibition, it was the states that ultimately led the way in that. And with 29 states with medicinal and 8 states with recreational, it is a matter of time before this reform happens. And I would like for the state of Missouri to have a say in what that reform looks like so we can institute those best practices so that we can take the lessons that we've learned from other states who were the first to do this and the consequences that some of their decisions may have had. And we can't do that unless we're willing to have that conversation. So I at least wanted to acknowledge that this is a good first step, but we're a long ways away from joining the other 29 states, but I hope that we get there before your time is up in the Senate.
I don't know if that'll happen, Senator.
Well, the referendum will do it if we don't. So
that's probably true, but
yeah.
You know, it is Missouri.
It is, but it polls at 67% statewide.
Show me state.
85% in my district. 75% voted for it. Okay.
Like I said, I think 0.3% has pretty much been an industry standard, and I'd like to see it stay at that.
Okay. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment 2 to Senate Bill 371? Senator from the 2nd.
Mr. President, to inquire of the senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from the second?
I do.
You may proceed.
Well, I could actually, I think the senator from the ninth would like me to inquire of him. Seventh, I'm close. Right with you.
Right. Okay.
Thanks.
Senator from the second.
Inquire of the senator from the seventh.
Senator from the seventh, do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from the second?
Do.
Proceed.
Senator, just clarification. The polling numbers that you cited that support the premise that the public supports some sort of
it's legal... It's 93% nationally for medical. Okay. 93%.
Well, you know, Senator, I've looked at some of the ballot language, you know, that you're talking about in Missouri. I'm not familiar with the national numbers. But I would just observe that anything that you put the word medical on, and then you put the word doctor in there, and then you put the word severe diseases in there, and those things are always going to pull well.
What did you think about the 75% that voted in favor of decriminalizing it in the city of Kansas City?
Well, again, I'm not that familiar with the decriminalization bill. I think it's an open argument as to just, you know, how strong the penalties should be to enforce marijuana laws if you believe there should be marijuana laws.
Right. Now, you have my medical bill in your committee, right?
But generally speaking, you know, decriminalization, you know, means, you know, and again, you tell me about the Kansas City bill. Removing it from being a crime, misdemeanor, and felony,
available
and making
fence,
it an
$25 ticket, yeah.
And making an infraction a ticket, what have you. But
and we did that in the state of Missouri as well on the criminal code. We took 10 grams and under, and
right.
We removed the jailable offense, and we made it a fine only,
right.
Statewide.
Right, right.
Just went into effect. Now, right. You have my medical bill in your committee right now.
Right, right.
We haven't had a hearing on that, have we?
Well, I've offered you a hearing on it.
I am today willing to hear it at any point in time if you're willing
okay.
to give me the hearing.
It's too late to notice it up for tomorrow. But if you would like one next week, we'll have
okay.
your chief talk to my chief, and we'll get it done.
Okay, that would be great.
Because
okay. I think the people are on the side of reform. I really do.
Thank you for the inquiry, Senator.
Thank you,
Mr. President.
Senator from the second.
To inquire of the senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, to yield to an inquiry again of the senator from the second.
I do.
You may proceed.
I am sorry, Senator. The senator from the seventh just seems so eager to be inquired of that I went ahead and inquired of him.
That was fine.
Yeah. Well, Senator, you know, I find those polling numbers interesting because any time I believe you put the word medical in front of anything and you say it's going whatever that thing is going to cure diseases and to relieve human suffering, the natural inclination, of course, is to support whatever that thing is. And I think sometimes sometimes the public needs to be to be educated, to informed on issues. And but I also, I think maybe at the heart of the bill we're looking at is the legitimacy of whether there should be such a thing as the Food and Drug Administration that evaluates medical claims for products and whether the claim that something is safe and effective for a given condition. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do. You know, to me... you know, we passed the cannabis oil here a couple of years ago for children with protected epilepsy, and I did vote for that bill. I had some reservations because I think this is one of those situations where FDA needs to get on the stick.
Yes.
And either do something with it. Have some clinical trials and see if we can get data that
yes.
Proves that it works, because I'm fearful that it becomes a panacea.
Yes.
And this is kind of an incremental bill.
Yes.
Like a lot of these. And, you know, if I don't know where this ends up.
Yes.
But it's not something that I want to support at this time. You know, I'm seeing a lot of ads in some of my veterinary professional journals for cannabis oil for different things for dogs now.
Right, right.
And I have not ordered any of those because...
That's what I was wondering, Senator. You're seeing it in your veterinary journals.
Yeah.
Have you ordered it or recommended it to any of your patients?
No, I have not, and so far I've had no one ask me.
Right.
If they ask me, I'm not willing to write that script.
Right.
Because it would all be shipped across state lines, and I don't want to be the guy that the Justice Department decides to make an example of
by
the fact that it's still illegal.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, and that's that gives me great pause about this sort of a bill, is that that but for the Obama administration deciding to order his Justice Department and his U.S. District Attorneys not to enforce a certain law,
right,
we wouldn't be here at all. And I think
exactly.
The last administration, I believe, committed many examples of overreach. The administration decides it doesn't want to enforce immigration law in this or that area, and therefore essentially legislates amnesty in certain situations. Decides it doesn't want to enforce, you know, law concerning
it's on the books
and drug enforcement
and
administration.
And at what point does that pendulum swing back the other way? It always swings, and then you've got people that, I mean, they could get in real trouble. To me, the bill kind of expands the scope of what we say it can be used for.
Yes.
Plus, it also increases the maximum level of THC. I think Senator from Lewis's amendment rolls that back.
Yes.
Which I think is a smart thing to do. But will I vote for the bill? No, I probably will not, because these kind of legislative moves do concern me a lot. I know if I'm not willing to prescribe, because now it's good for everything in dogs.
Yes.
You know, it takes care of everything. And
yeah.
I have seen no research anywhere that
indicates
that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's right. Earlier, the senator from Buchanan and I were inquiring. One was inquiring of the other, and the senator suggested that there'd be a much bigger market for this. Many, many pediatric neurologists would be recommending it, except they're afraid. And yet, last year, the legislature passed a very broad liability exemption and criminal exemption for neurologists who would recommend this product, and yet still they're not recommending it. You know, Senator, you're a doctor. I'm a doctor. Is it possible that you told me why you're not recommending it for your patients? Is it possible that these neurologists just don't believe in this because they insist on scientific evidence before they recommend their patients take something?
I think that is the reason why they're not doing it, because, you know, medicine and medical training is a lot based on data and how someone responds to a treatment that we do to them, whether it involves antibiotics or anti-inflammatories or different medications that we might use. And, you know, we're very hesitant about using these things unless we've got a lot of clinical data and we've got FDA approval. And if we use these... some of these drugs that may be available off-label,
right,
which happens in my profession, then you better be ready to, you know, stand for those consequences, because the malpractice companies are probably not going to cover you in those situations.
Right, that's a concern too. You know, and you mentioned something about you didn't want some U.S. attorney trying to make an example of you. You know, we still have laws against marijuana on our books.
Right.
And we have a new administration. You know, I've said in a number of contexts, what can be done by the pen and the phone can be undone by the pen and the phone.
I think you're pushing the limits if you would use this or prescribe this. And I've heard, some just clinical data that it really does help people in some of these severe pain situations. marijuana, you know, in high doses of THC. Maybe there are people that would benefit with nausea, particularly with chemotherapy. But, that's kind of, in my mind, still on the research level that should be handled that way and closely watched clinically as far as blood work and changes or mental stability and changes that might occur in the patients that might be receiving some of these products, because we honestly don't know.
Right. No, I think that is right. I've sometimes said it, and again, there are clinical trials. So, you know, if you go to clinicaltrials.gov, you can find all sorts of trials of various cannabinoids. The company GW Pharmaceuticals is working on a number of CBD, THC-type products. Marinol is already FDA-approved for nausea and vomiting associated with cancer chemotherapy and the chronic wasting syndrome associated with AIDS. I think, you know, we have an FDA approval process. I'm not sure why on the floor of the Missouri Senate we're trying to supplant that approval process with a Senate bill.
And I don't think that it's something that we should do. And I support clinical trials. Don't get me wrong. I really support clinical trials.
I do.
But generally in that situation, you're monitoring those patients extra closely.
That's correct.
And, you know, and if you start seeing liver enzymes are elevating or BUN function, kidney function is being compromised, you know, you're going to get off that drug real quick. And if you start seeing a trend at a certain level, then you're probably that drug's probably not going to make it to market. Because many drugs do have to have, you know, we find in veterinary medicine there's many drugs approved in Europe quite a few years before they are in America.
Yes, they are. You know, and we can criticize the FDA for being overly cautious, and I would agree with that criticism. You know, on the flip side, in the 1960s, John F. Kennedy awarded an FDA reviewer the Presidential Medal of Honor for rejecting a drug that was approved several years previously in Europe, and it had some pretty serious side effects. Do you know what that drug was, Senator?
I think it was an estrogen supplement.
You're close. It had to do with a hormonal condition. The hormonal condition was pregnancy and nausea and vomiting associated with pregnancy. It was thalidomide.
Right.
So thalidomide was approved in Europe, and in all honesty, the FDA reviewer was probably moving pretty slowly, and you know, it wasn't all that that reviewer had concerns about the safety of thalidomide, but it just goes to show that that drug saved American babies, or that, I'm sorry, that FDA approval process saved American babies from just catastrophic birth defects.
Right.
And I think that, I think, you know, again, supplanting that FDA approval process with Senate bill, whatever number, I just don't know that that's the right thing to do, and I'm not sure we're in good stead under federal law.
There's problems that presently are unknown.
Yes, I think
and,
so.
So the guy that calls my office and tells me there's no problem with marijuana, it's very, very safe, and that's the 10th time he's called for the day, makes me wonder.
Well, you know, I'm just looking. I alluded to this study earlier, but this is – I'm looking at the study from the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science, and one of the premier scientific journals in the world. And this was the study showing that that marijuana use in adolescents, regular marijuana use in adolescents, can lower IQ points.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Not only do we not really know that a given level of THC is safe and effective in treatment of a particular condition, I think all the evidence points to the idea that THC is a toxin especially to the developing brain. And I think since we're talking here about pediatric patients, or at least that's how the inquiry has gone, there are a bunch of other conditions listed in this bill, and we could get to those later.
Right.
But given that a lot of this discussion is about pediatric patients, I'm not even sure, going back to the to the 3/10 that the senator from Lewis is proposing in his amendment, I think maybe we should go a little bit lower than that. So I don't think we can get out all traces of THC from a marijuana-based right. plant extract, but I think we can probably do better than 0.3. So I think I'm going to be offering an amendment to the senator from Lewis's amendment a little bit later.
I think that would be appropriate. And But I'm with you. I hope there's a lot of clinical trials going on right now by, gathering some good data that gives us a little bit of a clearer path forward on what we do. People seem to want this. So hopefully we get some data that says it is safe and effective because, you know, we put a lot of faith in the Food and Drug Administration as when they approve a drug that it is pretty safe. And sometimes, I think it was Vioxx or something like that, greatest right. anti-inflammatory in the world. And then a few years down the road, they were seeing a lot of problems with heart disease from those patients. And so it was pulled and kind of left us without a really good anti-inflammatory for people.
Right.
I have better anti-inflammatories for dogs right now than we do for people, unfortunately.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. No, that's right. And I think our new FDA commissioner and Ms. Gottlieb, I'm blanking on his first name, I believe it's Scott Gottlieb, I think is very aware of this problem of the slowness of the U.S. drug approval process. And I think even just as importantly, I believe, the problems with generic drugs. You know, when you have 10 generic competitors, the drug price tends to be very cheap, and that's very good for the consumer. But when you get down to just one drug in that category, that's where one shark can buy up that patent and then right. crank the price of a $3 drug up to $800, and that unfortunately has happened. But I think many times what's going on is the FDA, as more and more competitors enter the market, the profit margin on those drugs, those old generic drugs, goes down,
right.
and the competitors go away. But the FDA never stops harassing those right. drug manufacturers, so they give the manufacturers an incentive to just let go of their drug. So I think I was familiar with the work of Mr. Gottlieb, or I believe it's Dr. Gottlieb. Yeah, Dr. Gottlieb, he's a physician, for many, many years. And when the president appointed him as head of the FDA, I thought that was an excellent choice. So I think in all pharmaceutical products, but I think in cannabinoids too, I think it'll be good to see an FDA that's more open to innovation and to streamlining the approval process to offer new and better products for our patients, as well as keeping inexpensive older drugs on the market.
They're problematic, and we get mad at them, and I complain about FDA a lot. And then at the same time, they're kind of our fallback regulatory agency that we think we got good, safe drugs when we prescribe. So there is a reason for them to be there, and we probably don't want them to be too fast.
Yeah, I agree. That's also true. It's a balance.
Too streamlined. Yeah.
No, well, thank you for the inquiry, Senator. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. President?
Senator from the Second.
Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Senator, is that an amendment to the amendment?
I'm sorry, I have an amendment to the amendment. So I have Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment Number 2. It has not been distributed. I would move for a waiver of the reading, and I will not close until the amendment has been distributed.
The senator from the Second has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment 2. Hearing no objection, the reading of the bill will be waived. The adoption has been moved for. Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
Yes, I would. Mr. President, we have had some discussion about the inadvisability of allowing the amount of THC in hemp oil to increase. There's been no
there is no good evidence that THC is a valuable treatment for pediatric epilepsy, which is the main disease that's been discussed in the course of this discussion, both this and previous years. There's a lot of evidence that THC is very bad for the developing human brain, and there's no good reason to increase the amount of CBD oil that, I'm sorry, the amount of THC that's going to be administered to children in the state of Missouri. In fact, I even think the 0.3% is high, and my amendment simply reduces it to 0.1% or 0.1%. I'd be happy to take any questions. If not, I move the and my microphone to be dead. Oh, here we go. Mr. President?
Senator from the second.
I am receiving a message that the amendment needs to be redrafted, so I am going to please send that amendment back.
So your amendment will be sent back.
Mr. President?
Senator from the second.
To inquire of the senator from Callaway.
Senator from Callaway, do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from the second?
I do.
You may proceed.
Hi, Senator. Thank you for the inquiry. Apparently, we're doing some more drafting work on my amendment to the amendment. Now, if my amendment makes an appropriate substitute amendment, someone could just tell me and I could... Well... Okay, then this bill does a number of things. I think it pretty dramatically expands the hemp oil law in the state of Missouri, and it does a number of things. The one we're talking about now is changing the percentage of THC that would be allowed in this hemp oil extract.
We're talking about page 7, line 22.
Yeah, it's in several places, but I believe page 7, line 22 is one of them. Yeah, that's right. Another one's on page 5 on line 6 near the bottom of the page. And, the bottom line is that most of this discussion has been about pediatric epilepsy, pediatric seizure disorders, and again, we're really in uncharted waters with this bill to begin with, as I sometimes put it, the Missouri legislature is replacing the FDA drug approval process, and we're replacing clinical trials done by pediatric neurologists with debate on the floor of the Senate. But one thing that I take away from the medical literature as I read it is that CBD, cannabidiol, could be good for pediatric epilepsy. I don't see any evidence that THC, the ingredient in marijuana that makes people high, I see no evidence that that's good for pediatric epilepsy. And my reading of the medical literature also tells me that THC is bad for the pediatric and adolescent brain, and therefore the senator from Lewis offered an amendment to reduce the percentage of THC from 0.9% to 0.3%, which is where the existing statute is, And again, the more I read the literature, the more I find myself saying that we need to produce as pure a CBD product, as little THC as possible, for the safety and protection of our kids. This THC is a toxin for these babies and toddlers and adolescents. So it turns out I offered my amendment as an amendment to the amendment, but it turns out I think this can be a substitute amendment, and I can use it as drafted, correct, Senate Research? So I appreciate the inquiry. I apologize that I did most of the talking, but
I think I will offer my amendment as a substitute amendment, and I think then we can proceed with the debate. So I appreciate the inquiry, Senator.
I appreciate looking out for the kids in this state.
Yeah, I mean,
we have some pretty serious problems. We don't want to make those problems worse with now another avenue.
Well, that's right. You know, that's right. We you know, sometimes this does happen sometimes that, there's the question. You have a given product. I remember doing an asthma trial one time, and it was a drug that was administered by injection, a biologic, a newer biologic drug. And that study was going on for, probably about a year and a half. And the pharma company that was developing the drug realized that there was a protein contaminant. It was a contaminant from Chinese hamster ovaries, and they called it the CHO protein. But they scrapped a year and a half of clinical research trials because of this contaminant. Now, as far as we know, that protein might not have caused anyone any harm. As best we can tell, it didn't cause anyone any harm. But THC for the infant and toddler and adolescent brain is a toxin. I mean, again, it's not only a controlled substance that's illegal for adults, but it's something that the medical literature is very clear is not good for babies or toddlers or adolescents.
So what does it do to their brain?
Well, it does a lot of things. It interferes with connections, with neurologic connections, neurologic circuitry formation. You know, because the brain is, especially during development, is a very plastic thing. It's changing. It's making connections. It's disconnecting connections. And you know, as we hear sometimes, well, as a former teacher, you've heard, and you, I'm sure, would agree that, you know, the adolescent brain isn't fully mature. Anyone who's raised teenagers knows that.
Right.
And that honestly isn't just our own experience from just kids being kids. It really is. There is a neurologic basis for that. The pediatric and the adolescent brain isn't fully developed. Some have said the brain doesn't become fully developed until, I don't know, late teens, early 20s, perhaps. But it's been shown that exposure to THC in the form of smoked marijuana actually not only is bad for adolescents developmentally, but it actually can be shown to lower IQ points.
Oh dear.
So I think again the less THC we expose babies and toddlers and children and to the better. So, I think that's where we need to go with this this bill. I think it needs a lot of work, but I think one thing we need to do is to expose our babies, our toddlers, to as little of this substance as possible. Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President.
Senator from the second.
I have a substitute amendment.
You send the amendment forward, Senator. Has the amendment been distributed?
Mr. President, it has not been distributed. I would move for the waiver for a waiver of the reading, and I will not close until it has been distributed.
The Senator from the second requests a waiver of the reading on Senate Substitute Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment 2. Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, you have moved for the adoption. Would you care to explain your amendment?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Basically, Substitute Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment 2 would take the percentage of THC that is acceptable in hemp oil extract from 0.3% is anticipated in the amendment of the senator from Lewis down to 0.1%. I think since we talked.
Senator from Buchanan.
Would you lay that bill on the informal calendar?
That bill will be laid on the informal calendar. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move that the Senate recess until 6:15 today.
The Senator from Cole has moved that the Senate stand in recess until 6:15 this day. All those of the opinion that motion should prevail signify by saying aye. All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We are in recess until 6:15 this day.